Blog Talk Radio.
It's been kind of crazy couple of weeks.
just with regular standard work, and then Saturday night did a private residence investigation, which that actually went pretty well. Wasn't
aside from
anything.
That little detail you were telling me, but
yeah,
maybe. So
yeah,
I'd like
that
to
I have
about
to
that. Later.
Yeah, that,
obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, that's gonna have to stay off air, but
yeah.
In all positive, though, what made it really positive is that there wasn't anything that we were finding in the house. We were there from about 9:15 till about 4 a.m., and nothing was going on, literally nothing at all, except for us just kind of walking around checking the place out. And when I sat down and I was talking with the homeowner, we kind of, you know, she gave me some info about stuff that she's been going through, issues, and turned out that pretty much what she's experiencing and what has happened was manifested by her, not in physical way, but just in kind of like it was all in her head, and she was misreading certain things that were going on, and it spins off of from watching ghost shows.
Natural,
so,
like, explanation, just like a lot.
Yeah, and yeah, so that was good. And when we were leaving, she gave me a hug, and she was extremely thankful, and she said it was the first time in 10 years that she's ever actually felt comfortable in her house. And I've been talking to her over text messages the past couple of days, and she said the same thing. She's like, it's so peaceful, it's so quiet here, you know, thank you so much. And so that was good.
Well, it's all about helping people, unless you just want to have fun with it, which, guilty, I just want to have fun. which, actually, I was talking to someone at work about it, and he's actually a radio host as well. He's been in broadcasting for, like, 20 years. He's an older man, and he was like, oh, you have a radio show, too? What's that about? And I'm like, paranormal stuff. And he's like, oh, I had a feeling you were into that kind of stuff. And he's like, you got to stay away from it. You got to stay away from it. And I'm like, but it's so much, like, it's just, I'm drawn to it, and it's so amusing for me, because I don't find many things amusing, but knowledge is amazing, so I like to learn. And he's like, oh, you're not scared of that sort of thing? I'm like, no, not really. And that's unfortunate that I'm not afraid of it, because if there were any danger, you know, your fear is a natural deterrent to keep you away from danger. If you don't have that fear, as like many investigators are just so acclimated to that environment, and they don't really have that sense of like going to go into a place that may have negative energy, or it may influence me in ways I don't know. But it's always good to like kind of help other people out, because you are not yourself afraid to go into a
yeah.
location and kind of get a logical explanation behind like activity or little things. You know, I think it would be great if something knocked over on my desk, and I would be like, stop doing that. Like, I don't like you doing that. But for me, it would be like, do it again. Wait, let me get the camera.
Yeah.
Now do it. So, yeah, but that's always nice. And I don't really get those kind of house calls because, well, I'm just too damn busy with school. So, go you. Kind of
yeah,
jealous.
We're yeah, I got the call on Tuesday, and that was one of those, obviously, short notice thing. So I called some people and that work with, you know, CPR here. One of them was out of town. The other one was going out of town. And then the other one had to work until 11 o'clock. And so it's like, oh, well, okay, it's just me. So then I made a call to MPS, which is Midnight Paranormal Society, a great, great, highly respected team in the Chicago area here. They actually live downtown, and David, the one that him and Frank, two team members of MPS, came out there, and Frank's girlfriend, who's starting to go on investigations with them. David does an actual broadcast radio show across from the Notorious and Landmark and Haunted Theater, The Portage, where we have pretty much all the events here in Chicago. He does full studio and has an AM show. And He does it on, I think, Sundays and Wednesdays. But I was supposed to go down to the studio yesterday on Sunday, but I was just so damn tired. And for where I had to drive, it was almost by Rockford, Illinois, which is close to the border of Wisconsin and Illinois. And where I live is about 25 miles west of Chicago. So it was a 176-mile round-trip drive just to and from there.
Aye.
So, yeah, it took a little bit of time in the car. And then GPS got me lost. That was fun.
Go figure. You know what? I give up on GPS.
Yeah.
Although it did come in handy when I was in New York and I needed to walk around. It was the only convenience when you have to walk around. It's like, oh, perfect. Little handheld device is perfect. But never trust technology. Haven't you learned, like, the aliens are controlling your technology? Haven't we had this discussion? Seriously.
Yeah, and they're trying to bring me out into apparently their favorite abduction zone. That's where it was like, yeah, it's this huge gated community subdivision that we were going to, and it brought me out to like the airport in the middle of a field. I'm like, wait, like a municipal airport, not even like a commercial one.
Yeah.
So I'm like, really, like. The address came up and everything, and it didn't take me interstate on the way there. It took me all back roads. So it's like, 45, 30.
Maybe trying to tell you to find Sasquatch out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I was, if you could have been a fly in the car, I was cursing that bitch on the GPS out.
If I could have been a fly in the car, you would have been very amused, because that fly would have not stopped talking, so... Yeah. So, yes. And last week, how did last week's show go? Which I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but did you have fun?
Oh, the music show. Yes, there was. I have a couple of the tracks that we played from the bands that were on that are actually on the board.
Cool.
Because I had Jenny Frank. Oh, if you look her up, she's a great musician. Frank, not Frank. She has some great stuff. It's all original. She did one Nirvana cover off of her little Pass Out at Show CDs. That's really, really good. That one I was going to load on, but for some reason it wasn't letting me at the time in my converter. But there was another band, The Employees, which they're a local Chicago band. They're kind of a little bit more on the political side, but still some good music. And then another band, which would be more up your alley, is Polarizer. And they're kind of, they have so many different styles that they combine into one, and they make it work really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely was digging the show. We did it. Jenny and I met up at my favorite restaurant, Tokyo Bay Sushi in Naperville, and we sat down. She had never had sushi, so got her some sushi for the first time, and then sat down, did the show live, hung out, so it was pretty cool.
Very nice. Well, that's nice. I have to give it a listen. I've literally worked nonstop since I came back from New York, and then I have school projects. It's finals, you know, got to crunch and get my degree soon, so yay. Once again, so loving school. Stay in school because you'll, you know, adore it and totally not want the semester to ever end. I'm so bitter about it. So torn that school's ending. I don't know what to do with myself. After 2 weeks, what am I going to do? Finally have a life. It's great.
Yeah. I was going to say, whatever you want.
Yeah. I have a lot of plans for that. So plan to travel and have some fun in that department, which is going to be good. And then, not really sure. It's kind of a blur, like, as to what I'm supposed to be doing soon, so... But it should be fun. New York was great, and I have to say, I have to talk about it a little bit. Just because I've never been to a city like that, which isn't necessarily as, like, you know, chaotic as I assumed it was going to be. Got the subways down really easily, went and did my geeky thing, and went to a museum and had a lot of fun and looked at a lot of meteorites and a lot of anthropological stuff, and, like, to me that was just incredible and fun, and we didn't really have those type of kind of different museums, like, up north, like, a lot more, I would say, geared towards what I enjoy. There's a lot of art museums in Florida, but they're mostly in Fort Lauderdale. So it was kind of a treat. So, and I got to see some dinosaurs, which, of course, are, like, you know, really badass. So
yeah.
I enjoyed it. So, yeah, and a mammoth, holy mammoth. Or is that a big woolly mammoth? Yeah. For all of you religious people out there, it's a holy mammoth because, yeah. So, dinosaurs, you know, what are those things? But speaking of weird creatures, have you ever heard of Castle? The show.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was like. I had never heard of that creature before.
No, it's a brand new one. I just made it up. Taking credit. No, it's a good show. They're on their, like, 100th episode or something, and I watch that show religiously when I have time, which is hardly never. But I'm really addicted to it. It's kind of a comedy crime show. But their 100th episode is about finding Sasquatch. So that's on tonight. Unfortunately, that's on during our radio show, so I will not be watching it. And hopefully you guys don't watch it and just record it and watch it later and listen to me talk instead, because that's so much better, you know, why not? I can amuse you just the same, but yeah. So how was your weekend aside from the little investigation you did, except for driving around for hours?
Yesterday was pretty much just mostly sleeping, catching up. I woke up at 7:30 for work and then was up until I got home a little after 5 in the morning. So, yeah, I need to catch up on a little bit of shut-eye, which was what yesterday was about.
Very nice. Yeah, not too bad. Not too shabby. And I have been looking forward to this all day because I've been glued to, like, my teachers' faces, paying attention, and I just want to catch up with you because I haven't, like, talked to you. It feels like in 2 weeks, I'm going to say maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah. Right. I think we texted, what, once or twice in the past couple of weeks? I texted you before last week's show, and you wrote me back once, and then I think I texted you, like, earlier in the week.
There's a reason for that. I'll tell you later. Not something that I could say on air. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You realize you text me really late at night, so, yeah. Anyway, and I'm in New York. What do you expect? That was my vacation time.
Yeah.
And it was in the middle of the night, which, yes, I probably didn't look at my phone, but that one time that you texted me, coincidentally, and then I was like, I don't even know where my phone was after that. So, yeah.
Screw him. It's late. I'm on vacation.
No, like, I literally texted nobody. I was like, I'm not going to look at my homework assignments. I'm not going to do any homework assignments. I'm not going to check my email. I am not going to go. I did go on Facebook, like, once, which, you know, that's just not like it's important anyway, so it's not like dread going on Facebook, but nobody missed me anyway, so yeah, it was lovely. So, and obviously what happened today in Boston, I just want to say I'm sorry to all those who, you know, going through whatever it is that you're going through, if you have family members, you know, or friends. Unfortunate turn of events. Today has not been a good day. It is tax day also, so who expected to be happy on tax day? No.
Yeah.
A lot of stress. So, which I'm glad
and
I got
mine
in. Oh, yeah, I know, and I hate Mondays. Where's your grumpy cat face? Wear it proudly. And that is exactly, I'm just waiting to wake up because it's almost Tuesday, and I'm going to be so excited when it's Tuesday because, okay, here's the geek coming out in me. First of all of you Call of Duty fans, tomorrow there is a new map pack out tomorrow, and I will be playing it all day, and it will be Alcatraz zombie mode, and I don't know how many people actually give a shit about Call of Duty, but I'm going to say it's the number one selling game, so quite a bit of you, possibly. And that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. So who knows if I sleep, because if it comes out at midnight, then that is where I'll be. So I look forward to it. And that's just crazy, because apparently I have a life, and it doesn't involve gaming. Actually, it does. So... Oh, well. So, I'm excited. And also, if anyone wants to play with me, please do. No, not that way. Holy crap, that sounds bad. Yeah. Yeah. A little silly tonight. And also, earlier, I wanted to say we played D-Lane Mother Machine. Go check them out, D-Lane.nl. And check out their music, and we'll be playing more music later before Scott Grunwald joins us from Paranormal Paparazzi, and that's going to be really exciting. So he's going to join us at the top of the hour after we come back from break in about 30 minutes. So until then, I'm going to keep you occupied with my rambling, which has always done me well. So, but... What other exciting stuff have I missed from you? Because it seems like you've done a lot of paranormal stuff, and like I've been wanting to know, and then we talk about it for like 2 minutes, and then we change subject, or one of us has to go or something. Because you had an event, did you not? Was it like 2 weeks ago? Or was that just over the weekend kind of investigation?
It's been a couple weeks since the event. We did Ursula Bielski and Mark and I went to Bachelor's Grove for an afternoon and walked around and just kind of hung out, and because they're doing a huge restoration project at Bachelor's Grove, and ended up running into my friend Carl. Len was down there. It was like the whole Chicago crew just went there, and nobody knew that anybody was going to be there. So it's like an event, every event that every time you go there, it turns into an event because all the same people are always there working on the restoration project.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what was the last actual event that I did?
I don't know. I know that I went to an event, but I went there as a geek, but we already discussed that in thorough detail, how much of a geek I am, which I feel kind of left out because you don't seem that geeky, and you make me seem really geeky.
No, I'm definitely geeky for sure.
Cool. Oh, by the way, isn't that a coincidence that like the new Star Trek movie is called Into Darkness? Is it not a coincidence?
So how much influence did you have on that?
I don't none whatsoever. However, it is just so ironic. Because that's, like, been my thing for, like, a year. And then I'm like, oh, great. Like, as if
maybe.
I'm not already a geek, I picked something that, like, obviously a director of a geeky franchise would pick. So, obviously theirs is, like, way more cool concept because it's, like, ooh, in space, you know, into darkness. Like, ooh. Mine's, like, the depths of your soul kind of darkness, like, retarded. So, whatever.
Hey,
think I'm cool.
Hey, look, this is the way that I look at it. We get to talk to some cool-ass people every week.
Mm-hmm.
We get to talk about a badass subject. And it didn't cost us $4 million to do this.
No.
So,
and also, we can swear as much as we want. And we're not going to get penalized like Howard Stern, which is a badass dude, might I add. But, you know... It is for a mature audience. And if I say fuck you, I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
It's not. Yeah, I'm really not. You're right.
Yeah. There's. Speaking of geeky things, there's a And tying into the museum thing also, there's a couple cool things that are coming up that are passing through the Chicago museums, but the one that's going on that I'm definitely going to probably this weekend is the they reopened the mummy one at the Field Museum in Chicago.
I've been to like
40 times, but hey, what the hell, 41's worth it.
Yeah, why not rub it in my face so you can go.
I know. Kind of had to. One thing that I did that was pretty interesting, not obviously this past weekend, but the weekend before, is I went on Sunday, me and one of my coworkers, we went up to this place called McMiller Park in Wisconsin, and he brought his .22 rifle, I brought my shotgun, and we just sat and shot all day, and then went and had lunch, which was very relaxing. But then after that, and that was a little bit north of Lake Geneva, not too far across the border in Wisconsin, then I drove up to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and sat and hung out with my ex's family. And after I was there, I went to that private residence in Eden, Wisconsin, which still to this day is the most haunted place I've ever been. So I was there till about 1:30, 1:45, and had a 2.5-hour drive back to Illinois, and then had to be up at 7:30 for work on Monday. So I'm getting home like 4:30, 4:45, somewhere in there on Sunday. But when I was up there, it was pretty interesting activity. I didn't have anything with me, and because it wasn't a plan that I was going to go to Eden, Wisconsin. I just said, what the hell, let's go to Eden, Wisconsin after I was done. I'm like, I'm in the state. Well, that's like saying you're in San Diego and you want to go check out San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm in California, so it shouldn't be too far. Yeah, that was like almost 3-hour drive from where I was.
And it's not exactly like prime city to go to because it's Wisconsin.
Yeah.
What
does that have to do with anything?
Hey, I'm just spoiled, okay? Travel and spoiled. And it's Wisconsin. Did you find more cheese?
It's everywhere.
Yeah, I figure. Yeah, how about banana cheese? You forget I'm a woman, and women love cheese and chocolate. So that means I have to go to Belgium. No.
although I have stopped at a cheese place in Wisconsin that does have chocolate covered cheddar.
That's just sick.
I didn't try it, but
that's sacrilege towards chocolate. I mean, that is horrible. That's just sick.
Or is it sacrilege towards cheese?
No, cheese is cheese. Screw it. Chocolate is a commodity. It's a art. Making chocolate is an art, okay? I'm not talking about Hershey chocolate. I'm talking about, like, nice chocolate. You do not waste cocoa beans with cheese. Cheese is just old milk. And who gives a shit? But I like chocolate. I don't know where the subject went with this, but I just want to say I love you, chocolate. Please come to me anytime.
But chocolate, if you're listening.
Yes, if you're out there. I'm waiting for you.
When I was up at the house, they've done a lot of construction to where one of the outbuildings that's on the property, it's an old farm. There's an old farmhouse, then there's a functioning cattle stable that's next to it across the fence. So if you walk out the back door, the barn is directly ahead of you, about 50, 75 yards away. Over to the left was where they had the animal processing plant, where it's a farm. They'd slaughter the animals and serve the community with them.
Why would you tell me this?
I know. Well, they ripped all that stuff down.
Good.
And they ended up putting in, like, new modern garages. It's the same size of the building. Well, when they were excavating the ground, because now it's a concrete, before it was just all dirt. Well, when they were grading to lay the concrete, they ended up finding bones and ended up finding like little trinkets and like weird crap in the ground.
What kind of like Indian burial grounds, maybe?
There was some there were pieces of pottery. There was a couple different places. And or a couple different things that they found in different areas, old chains, stuff from when it was functioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have the piece of paper right here that has. We went to Hall of Records a couple times and ended up pulling the full history of the property. So who owned it, when it changed hands, and it's basically all the deeds. Well, it was. It doesn't say when the original one was published, but it was C.F. Dodge was the first person to own it. Then it went to T. McCauley. That was July 18th of 1833. Well, Wisconsin wasn't a state yet. So that's how old this property is.
Hmm.
And, the stuff that they pulled out, they brought it inside. And I told him, I said, I'm like, wait, why would you bring bones and crap like that in your house? Like, why? So I told him, I said, if you want to keep it in the house, I said, keep it in one central area. I said, put it down in, like, the back corner of a basement. Well, you walk down in their basement, and they have a canning room. They have another back room, which the creepy thing about the back room is it's dirt floor. It's all old, tree trunk boards that, because obviously they didn't have, 2x6s and 2x12s back then.
Yeah.
So it's all old, just, rustic wood down there. This back room that nobody goes into ever has a flat wood door that doesn't swing too well. And that... it takes force to actually open and close this door. Well, every time they open the door, it always gets closed. That room is absolutely spotless at all times. Not a cobweb, nothing, no dust on the window ledges, nothing. It's spotless all the time. And we've gotten EVPs down there that say, because we purposely leave the door open, we'll do EVPs, and we've got screaming, close the door! Like, we get all this weird stuff in there. Well, they put everything back in one central area of that room, and because they actually had to, because when they were pulling the bones out, they had to call out the medical examiner to come out and see if they were human or if they were animal or what they were.
Yeah.
So they did that, and they said that there were a couple that were questionable if they were human or not, so they took those to the lab, and I haven't heard back whether or not they tested positive or animal or whatever they tested for. But so she had all this stuff set up, and it was all in a row. And I ended up, I'm pissed that I didn't have any cameras or any audio recording stuff with me. I only had my cell phone, and that doesn't work well for EVPs at all.
No.
So,
definitely not.
So I had... Yeah, everything set out linearly on this bench. So I took it and I kind of, the spirit that's down there that I've gotten EVPs or whatever it may be that's down there that I've gotten EVPs from does not like clutter, does not like stuff to be out of place. So I purposely put things out of place. And I went upstairs. I was there for about 20 minutes. I went back down. Everything was in exactly the same place that it was. I took some of the dirt floor and I put it on the thing when I moved them, and you could see slide marks of these things that have been moved back into the place. And I know nobody was down there. There's only one access to it. We were sitting next to it. Two of her kids were in bed. Her one daughter was up with us. Her husband was at work because he worked third shift, and she was sitting next to me the whole time. Happened three times.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a control freak ghost.
Yeah, exactly. It's an OCD spirit.
I love that. That would be like the ideal like companion. I would say, okay, stop knocking my books over and start organizing them. That would be very convenient. That would be actually quite a nice house guest.
Yeah, and there was an incident on the property. There's a curve that starts at the edge of the property. And back in the 50s, there was a kid named Brian who was he was driving his dad's truck. He was drag racing. Somebody was going fast, ended up flipping the car onto the property, and he died right there on the property.
Mm.
Well, the one thing that was, and this, I'm actually getting chills talking about this, because I didn't know about Brian until about 2 weeks ago, and I've been going up there for almost 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, found out about Brian, and Brian, in the accident, bit off his tongue.
Oh, my.
And some of the EVPs that I got are very mumble-sounding, almost, it sounds like somebody would talk if their tongue was bitten off.
Fair enough.
That was creepy. So
actually,
I had my really, really dear friend, Chelsea DeMolly, who was on Haunted Encounters. She was their psychic.
Mm-hmm.
She did a remote on it. Dennis did a remote on it. And I also had Tracy Ann, who works with us, do a remote. None of them had talked. They all, and I didn't give any info. They all talked about the car accident. They asked if Brian had a mouth injury. And they picked the date. They nailed everything right on the head, and that's where I'm like, come on, really? It's like, I know all you guys talk, you know, together. We're all friends, and we all talk all the time. But I know none of you had talked to each other, because that's, like, they don't operate that way. If they say, okay, you had me read it, have Dennis read it, have Tracy read it, and then we'll compare notes and see what happens. Well, they're not going to botch their own readings. They're going to, you know, not talk to the other person until I say, okay, had everybody read it, let's, you know, let's get together and see what we come up with. And so that's exactly that situation, that scenario, and it was crazy. There's a woman who's in the active cattle barn that hides. And this is where it gets kind of trippy too. So she's in the active cattle barn, which wasn't there. It has nothing to do with age on that property of what it is. But her name was Clarissa Schnarz Schnarz. Is what her name, like they kept getting Clarissa, and it's S-C-H something, and they couldn't pick out the last of the last name.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting a real strong S-C-H, and it's something a little bit weird. Well, in July 21st of 1875, it went from Kruger to the Schnarz family.
Oh. Well, that's impressive. I mean, see, I'm not always into the whole, like, readings, or I'm not sure how to explain scientifically as to how, like, some people are really sensitive to their environment, so can really pick up on the past. But
yeah.
How many did you have with you? Was three?
Actually physically there with me?
Yeah.
It was just me.
Oh, it was just you. Oh, they were calling it. Oh. Duh.
Yeah. No, they did remote reading.
Okay.
They did it like Chelsea's in Portland, Dennis is in Richmond, Virginia, and Tracy's not too far from me in Illinois.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Complete, you know, areas of the country that they all got the same thing.
Very interesting. That is very interesting. Yeah. Impressive. I really,
yeah.
I'm not going to say skeptic, I'm just so rational sometimes that I wish I wasn't.
Yeah.
Very difficult. It's hard to kind of try to, you know, give other people the explanation. You can, you know, take it for yourself, and then you explain to other people, especially if you're in the, if they're not in the paranormal field, and you know, you tell someone that's not in the paranormal field that you're in the paranormal field, they're just like, is that what you do? Like, really? Like, is that what you believe? And then you go, oh, so then they're psychics. Oh. Like,
yeah.
That's a whole other ballpark that you have to explain. And then, you know, everybody thinks you're already crazy because you have to explain yourself with paranormal. And, you know, I hunt unicorns and leprechauns, too. I find a lot of entertaining things in the forest. So that's what I do in my spare time. So
yeah, there's gnomes and
fairies,
you know, chupacabra.
And,
yeah, chupacabra and Mothman. He's a good friend.
people believe in zombies, and they believe that zombies can happen. Yet they don't believe in, like, well, the earth has amazing ways and amazing energy and electricity, and our body is full of electricity. Why would that be so odd? So, anyway, speaking of zombies, I was reading earlier about, and this is realistic, not.
How do you start that, or how do you start that sentence right there?
Yeah,
I was reading about
10...
zombies, and this is realistic.
Yes, it's so realistic. There's 10 essential ways to survive the zombie apocalypse, which is a practical guide, which I found on Huffington Post, which I know that's a laughable source anyway, but their number one was running shoes, and then you need granola bars because you need to be able to eat, you know, small bits of food that last you, and like a melee weapon, like a bat, or, like, you know, a gigantic samurai sword, which, come on, like, that's not realistic. You need wet wipes. You need wet wipes. Which I was, oh, come on now. Like, the last thing I'm going to want is to, you know, be concerned about my hygiene. However, if you do get, you know, fluids on you, any kinds of fluids from zombies. We're speaking realistically here. You would need antibacterial wipes so that you don't catch whatever zombie there was. And also you need water, which is, you know, duh, which is very realistic. You need a bandana. I'm not really sure what that's for, just to keep germs or keep your... You know, same thing with the wet wipes, which, by the way, I can't believe this is, like, serious. And you need thick clothing in case of bite marks and, you know, make sure that you don't get any blood seeping in through wounds and blah, blah, blah. And you need, like, a good place to be out in the wilderness and or, like, really concrete surroundings or barbed wire fences or, like, a prison. That doesn't sound familiar at all. If you don't watch The Walking Dead, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And you need a pistol. That's number 9. And my favorite, number 10, an object of affection to keep you occupied, if you know what I mean. Yeah, you once you know you're killing people and... running and being terrified and almost dying, you need a little fun at the end of the night.
Time to get laid.
Yeah, not at all. That's not what I was referring to. So, yeah, that's the realistic list of a zombie apocalypse survival guide, which, hey, to each his own.
All right, so let me go back to the wet wipes here.
Okay.
Here's my thinking on these wet wipes. All right. So they have the fluid that after you bash to a pulp a zombie, then there's probably going to be a little bit of spray here and there. So
yeah.
Who was the one that tested zombie fluid to say that wet wipes take care of whatever poisons that is possessed. That's like saying that you got AIDS and all you have to do is wipe it down with a wet wipe and it goes away.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. I'm definitely gonna bring some Lysol.
Yeah, I figured that would be the best move, right? So, you know, just those little tiny wet wipes. I'm not talking about, like, the big baby wipes. Those tiny ones that, like the tiny, tiny ones that come in, like, a really small package. Like, that's going to help you survive an apocalypse, which, first of all, totally unrealistic anyway. Second of all, like, spreading infection. Talk about spreading infection. Last one, .. Now that's all I can think about. Oh, very, very convenient, isn't it? Anyway, so you always need a cheerleader, you know, like to hack someone and then carry their head around their belt. Not like a game at all. No, that never happened. And yeah, also you have revives. So if you do go down, you instantly heal. So, yeah. So not, preparing.
Click the little button. It'll have probably the shape of a heart or a medic, Red Cross on it. And if you have that, that'll definitely help out.
Juggernog helps too. now I'm getting more into geek mode here. So if you have a ray gun, you're set, okay? I swear, if you have the ray gun, you will kill every zombie that comes within, 5 feet. Or, 100 feet even. So, yes, and death machine. So, yeah, totally, really, really realistic. Not. So, but it's great to think about. And so that brings me back to mummies. Mummies, the original Walking Dead. And how jealous I am that they're not actually real. And speaking of mummies, which is, I love how I jump from topic to topic. It's great. Coincidentally, my friend from Holland reminded me kindly when we were in a museum, you know where the King Tut Museum is now? I'm like, where? Because I never get to see it, and it's always in America, or it always travels, or, sometimes it's in New York. One time it was in Chicago. One time it was in Fort Lauderdale. It's in Amsterdam or somewhere around there, somewhere. I'm just rub it in my face like a wound that I don't get to go see King Tut exhibit. So, yeah, I was just thinking about mummies, and, yeah, that came up. You know me.
Yeah, see, there's too many other cool pharaohs throughout history that Tut, he was cool because he was so young and what he did, but...
Well, he was a really bad king, What king dies at 17?
Yeah.
Who's a king at 17 anyway? So, no.
Ramses dynasties were really cool, and and a lot of history and developments that happened during the Ramses. But no, Ramsey gets no love.
And Akhenaten. That was a crazy bastard.
Yeah.
We could have this discussion. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, where's the love for all the rest of the pharaohs? What, because he was a kid, he gets all the prestige?
Well, because he was the unknown king, so... everybody knows Akhenaten. That bastard made his own religion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention, a whole bunch of the pharaohs were, married to their sister. So, that's a whole nother story.
Well, I know you know why, but you know why, right?
I know why. Well, obviously, they want to keep the bloodline pure and... Yeah, not exactly the best way.
No. Well, that's why there was a lot of stillborns. There was a lot of because
Yeah.
If there, There's a lot of stuff that happened, and I'm not going to get into detail about what happened with these children. That their parents thought that they were blessed and pure blood because it was mommy and daddy, aka brother and sister.
Yeah, that's not disturbing at all. Oh, not disturbing at all. Sometimes
Egypt
I think I really love that society. I really love that culture. It's fascinating and it's so great. And then I'm like, really? What happened? Like, why am I fam again? I don't know. It's slightly disturbing when I think about it. I'm like, really? I have a lot of respect for those people. And then I realize it, and then I'm like, yikes, because that's just taking it to another whole nother level. But it's fascinating. But still, if you have like 100 kids with like 20 people, that's also pretty fascinating too. So Ramses, you did a great job. Fascinating. You probably have a bunch of people that are related to each other now. They don't even know it, thanks to him. Great line, though.
Yeah.
I
love when the ancient Egypt subject gets brought up, and then it goes into the conspiracy theorists of how the aliens, that ancient Egypt wouldn't have even existed if it wasn't for the alien race and their influence on it.
Girl, why do you do this to me? I hate when they say that. It's like you don't give humans enough credit. Which, granted, yes, if aliens existed... Oh, I'm not saying they don't, not saying they do, but if they existed, why don't we give humans some credit, or, you know, we just give aliens all the credit. If they exist, we're giving them all the credit. That sucks. It sucks.
Yeah.
Maybe I had, like, the biggest discussion about universe. Like, it was started with ancient society, then it went into aliens, then it went into planets, and then it went into the Big Bang Theory. Then it went into theory. Then it went to multiple universes and parallel universes. And then then we come from nothing. Then we are nothing. And I'm like, where is this going? I'm like, so basically our whole existence is like pointless. Okay. That was the conclusion. So then that's where the conversation ended. So fascinating. Yeah.
I was watching, Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman. And he was talking about aliens and stuff like that. I was actually getting upset about this. He was talking about, and Michio Kaku was on there too, and he was talking about the same thing. And every time they referred to aliens, they were talking about such a 1,000-year plus more superior race.
Yeah, of course.
And what they, you know, what they'd actually want our planet for, this, that, and the other thing. Well, let's take a step back here. Who the hell is to say that they're a thousand or plus years more advanced than humans? What, because they got here? And that's the way it doesn't, you know, they could be Jethro from Backwoods, but they're just really good at transportation.
Yeah.
They could get here and have absolutely no idea what the hell anything is. They'd be like, look at like a can of pop and be like, wow, you were able to figure out a way to harness a liquid in a container? I mean, that's quite a stretch to use as an example, but who's to say that they don't, on their planet, wherever they come from, they only have the technology because they have a mineral that makes it possible. But other than building a spacecraft that can get from point A to point B in a human time length or however long that they live, maybe that's all they're good at. They don't know how to cultivate crops. They don't know how to, you know, smash atoms or... They could not have any clue about anything except how to travel well.
Actually, yeah, and drop things on planets by accident, some bacteria, and turn into a whole race of everything, dinosaurs and bacteria. And well, that's what, I went to that museum, and I saw all this anthropological stuff, and like Homo habilis, and Australopithecines, and Neanderthal, and I was just like fascinated, like to see it evolve, and you know, then you see massive dinosaurs, and you're like, how did we evolve from that, and obviously... that leads to the question of how our planet was formed, if there was life on planet or not, how was our planet formed, which then we're like, oh, great, more to think about, and my brain hurts, and we're going on break because of that. So I'm going to play some music, some Delane for you guys, and Scott is going to come on right after break. So we will see you in about 4 minutes, and enjoy this song. I'll talk to you in a minute, Matt.
Cool.
Once upon the dawn, day will break. It begins on time, flowing while it's glowing. It arrives on time.
Welcome back to Into the Darkness. I have with me Matt, and we have a guest with us tonight, Scott Scronwald from Paranormal Paparazzi. Hello, how you doing?
Wow! I love an FM radio DJ. Oh, yeah, we're back. I didn't really need to be on your show. I'll try not to lie, be that loud. Hi, Matt. How are you? It's a long time.
So, yes. Yes, I have to do the radio voice, of course, which guys do much better because my voice is bloody awful, annoying, girly, high-pitched.
You've got a great voice. You should do voiceovers.
Thank you.
You could do voiceovers for Disney or something. You could make, like, millions of dollars doing voiceovers.
That'd be awesome.
And it's a good business. Bring that with you. You could be, like, the voice of the henchman to the other voice.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. I mean, who wouldn't get annoyed by me that way? It'd be fascinating. So,
leave me alone!
2 hours are not enough of my voice a week. I need it, like, constantly.
Think about the people who do it, like, every morning. Every morning they do it, like, the morning drive or something like that. I mean, God, can you do that every day? I don't know.
No. Hell no. Because, first of all, I am not awake in the morning. Second of all, we are paranormal investigators. Therefore, you know, we're more night people. So I'm more vocal at night, which sounds really bad. Not gonna lie, put that the wrong way. So
that's good.
Yeah. Being loud at night, it comes in handy for certain things. Anyway, how have you been? And you've been filming, haven't you?
Yeah, I just got back from doing some stuff and a couple of events. You know, it's kind of cool being bouncing around and people actually want to hear me talk. It's like, you know, I mean, I'm not rated G. I'm not even PG. It's more of an adult thing. Mm-hmm. So this last weekend I went to Virginia City and they said, well, it's an all-ages convention. I was like, fuck, I mean, what am I getting? So I'm working on my presentation. I'm taking all the bad words out and the nudity and all that. Finally, I just said, fuck it, you know, I just did it. I didn't care. And, of course, dressed like a priest, it always helps. So.
And, which, by the way, I saw one of those episodes where you guys were naked investigating, and I thought that was hilarious. Why doesn't everybody do that?
Seriously. You know, it's weird. This group does it on a regular basis. Now, the two founders, one of them was there. The other one wouldn't do it because she's in the medical field, and she thought if they went out to TV, she'd lose her patients and whatever. So, I met them, and I always wanted to, you know, I've done naked investigation before. I think I'm very, very a big fan of it because I feel that, you know, ghosts are more apt to talk to us if we're naked, or at least give us a sign of their penis presence if we're naked, other than sitting around going, hey, what's your name? Where do you live? So if we do something like we're having sex or we're just naked, you know, so anyways, I meet this group, Southern California Investigators of All Natural, and I thought, this can't be real. So I headed down to San Diego and I met up with them. Actually, they met me in L.A., and they just dropped a trowel right in front of me, and I'm like, well, I'm thinking, this is the part where I either call my wife and ask if it's okay or just do it. And the producers stopped. All right, I'll just do it. We'll edit it out. We'll give you a big, long blur instead of a little blur or whatever, right? And I'm like, which I only need a little blur, by the way. So I did it, and next thing you know, I'm naked, and we're investigating. And now being with my wife and doing it, or being with with a couple of people that I've done it with, we're friends. But these people, I didn't know these people, so it's like, you know, you kind of hide, you kind of turn away, and you're kind of stretching your shit out to make it look bigger. Whatever, you know? You don't know these people, so you're kind of thinking, you feel very vulnerable.
And
things were touching me in my bathing suit area, as well as showing themselves to me. So it was like, you know, I mean, it was, I wasn't ready for what, I was just going to interview these people, but now I'm doing the naked thing with them. It was like, you know, I think if I was ready, I would have shaved my back. But still, I was like, you know, this is pretty cool. And the Travel Channel went, yeah, we're not going to put that on the air. And I'm like, oh, thank God. And we shot at Paranormal Paparazzi live to tape. So you go to the studio, you sit in the studio, you have 22 minutes to pop out a show, and then they just go, ready, go, live. And Aaron goes, okay, we're out of blah, 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 blah. And then it goes to a commercial, and they come back. You don't know what's going to happen. They go, Scott, you were in Southern California, and you were naked. And I'm like, oh, God. This, you know. So they approved it. But they don't tell you they approved it. Next thing I know, I'm just, you know. And, I go, well, it's exciting. I haven't seen the tape. I have, God knows what I'm going to see or anybody else.
Yeah.
And, then the Travel Channel were chasing me around the studio, and I think, oh, they're going to talk to me, and they're going to tell me they hate me. Finally, I met up with them on the last day, and they go, you know, that was, we liked it, you know. That, and you know, going to the bathroom on every story you did was kind of funny. So, I don't know. Enough for them to put it on TV, so, hell, you know, it wasn't bad. I think I was the second guy to be naked on the Travel Channel, other than, like, you know, natives and stuff. But they did. But I was, Anthony Bourdain lost his towel jumping off a waterfall.
Yeah, actually, I do recall that. So, yeah, that's all I can think of, Anthony Bourdain being naked. And you guys, yeah, great.
Not
it's a good ballpark to be around. So go Travel Channel. They actually did really well with that.
Go TC.
Yeah.
It's a digital control and Scott.
Now, Matt, would you make an investigate with me?
You know what? I would actually give that a try because I think that would be pretty interesting.
You could come hang anytime, bro.
Literally.
So many bad jokes.
Literally.
So many bad jokes you can feed into this. Show me a second penis. Who says that? I mean, but you're an investigator, Matt. So, I mean, you like this stuff. So, yeah, I think do it by yourself first. You know, like you're a kid, you do it by yourself first, and then you find somebody else to do it with. And so, you know, I don't suggest you do it in the middle of the street or it's a neighbor's house. And residentials are definitely out, I think. You might find yourself in some kind of man orgy. But then, go to some place, rent the place for the night, rent the entire Stanley Hotel for, what, $1 million and do it there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think I'll add that to the bucket list, is rent out the Stanley Hotel for $1 million and walk around it naked. If I rent it out and I pay the $1 million, you better damn well guarantee if I want to walk around naked, I will.
See, we have a similar bucket list, but not able to scratch one of them off. So.
Yeah, I would love to walk around naked, but I'm from Florida. I already do that, so it's not much of a change, unfortunately.
Now I'm hard.
Yeah.
Now you did it.
No, it's just too damn hot. It's just too damn hot here.
It's a lot easier to do it with, like, non-attractive people, but the people that I was with on that show were really good-looking people, and I was like, the girls were just, like, hot, and I'm like, okay, I'm so getting my ass kicked when I get home. But it was like, okay, don't ever think about baseball. Think about baseball. Think about baseball. Oh, I got a ghost. You know, so.
You're a little bit excited over a ghost, so you know what? You have something else to blame, finally.
Unfortunately, baseball gives me an erection. But other than that, I should have thought about soccer.
Hey, I like soccer. That's awesome.
Well,
why does everybody, all Americans, just like, psh, football, like soccer. No.
I went to one game and there's like 10 people wanted to beat me up. And so I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. But, you know, I did go to I did play cricket once and I liked that. So that was cool. Cricket.
Well, that's just too fancy for me now. No, I don't follow that. So since we're talking about being nude and investigating, which is great, and all. Mm-hmm. What are your paranormal pickup lines? Because, you know, I kind of figure that you might have some ideas for that.
Paranormal pickup lines?
Yeah.
I never thought of that.
I'll tell you one that a guy told me once.
Give me one.
He was like, so I want you to come investigate. I want you to come investigate the Woody in my pants. I'm like, okay. Like, I mean, it was, like, stupid. Like, it'll be a ghost with a Woody. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, that's
curse
not.
Curse you, Chris Fleming.
Mm-hmm.
Who's an adorable man, by the way. I don't know if you've never noticed Chris Fleming and IR, but he's on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I've never been stumped before. I mean, my one fan is in the chat room. Then they're going, oh, no, screw him. Now I'm going to go back and follow, I don't know, Dave Schrader or somebody else. I never was stumped before. You know what? Hang up tonight. I'm gonna get like 5 of them, and I'll put them on your Facebook. And your husband's gonna contact me and go, "Listen, here, motherfucker." I go, "No, it's research."
I'll ask you an easier question. Okay, let's see. So, okay, what is your theory on paranormal? Is that a harder question, or can you go into depth? I want like detail. I want like in-depth detail.
It's a broad question, but let's take it as paranormal itself. years ago, I was introduced to it, and by force, and through a family, through my mother, and being a twin, we were used for a lot of experiments and stuff like that. And we're talking 1972, you know, before you were even your parents were born, probably. But I never heard the word paranormal wasn't actually in my vocabulary for a few years later. I think paranormal, as it sits, is one of the most craziest, awesome rides that anybody's ever done. It broadens the spectrum as far as people that don't believe in stuff are out there trying to believe in stuff. There's books written about it. There's amazing authors and amazing speakers, and not so amazing authors and speakers as well. And it's become this community now that's so huge. Once the media hit it, unfortunately, that's the way a lot of this is. It's like, I love Louis Vuitton, but I didn't love Louis Vuitton until I went to New York, and now I came back and I love Louis Vuitton. So the same thing with the paranormal. Once it hit, people going, oh my God, these guys are walking around the dark. I can do that. So the paranormal as a whole has grown so huge. And, you know, I'm like, hands off to those guys, Jason Grant, the beginning guys that did the paranormal on the media. Because now it's this thing, and it's a hobby, and it's it creates all this collective group of people that you probably wouldn't hang out with, you know, outside of this hobby, together with all different they're like-minded people with different theories. So as far as Bigfoot and UFOs and all this other stuff, that's just cool. But when we get down just to the ghost hunting thing, you get everybody and their fat little brother has gotten a paranormal group now, and it's cool if it stays. If it stays like that, okay, things like Sizzle Reel shouldn't be in a paranormal group. Things like media coordinator shouldn't be in a group, you know. Usually it starts out with a couple of people that really like this, that love the paranormal, and then one of them just wants to hunt ghosts, but the other one has an ulterior motive that wants to be on television.
Oh, okay? There's plenty of those.
Yes, there's plenty of those. And like I said, it's not hard to get on TV. You can get on TV, just have something really unique. You know, and they say it's who you know, and that's true. But if you want to get on TV, have something that's very unique. And I don't mean just because ghosts are a Volkswagen and demons are a really fast Camaro that you have to go chase demons because it's cooler. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need something like Jason Gowan and the boys from Extreme Paranormal had that's like underwater EVPs or burying yourself in a, you know, underground and whatever. You know, you have to have something that they're gonna dig. Now, you know, it's really windy. Let me shut the door to my million-dollar studio.
Oh, hey.
Mom, leave me alone, Mom. I'm talking to my... right. There you go.
That suddenly sounded so familiar. Oh.
Mom! She's in the life. So, you know, when you talk about the paranormal and the paradramas and the all the stuff that kind of goes along with it, now... I know that people out there, and they have a group, and they have a like page, and they have all that stuff. There's not enough damage control going on in the paranormal. If for instance, going into people's houses and telling their children they have demons in there and stuff, you know, it's happening way too much. And I'm not really blaming the group as much as I'm blaming the ignorance of, you know, I am blaming the group, but there needs to be a liaison between if you're going to do residentials, which I strongly suggest nobody ever does, but if you're going to do them, you need a mama bird, or you know what I mean? You need someone to say, hey, fucking knock it off, man. You're not doing this right. Because a lot of people are going in with the preconceived notion that this place is haunted when it's just a family and I'm not going to talk about people that are mentally ill and all that, because that's what everybody says. What I'm talking about is the people that watch a lot of television.
It's more psychological. It's just you get so into it. It's like a fantasy world, and then you assume that things are happening like that. It's crazy.
You walk down. You can throw a rock from wherever you're standing right now, and the person and hit somebody that's seen a paranormal show, and they see a show, and then they hear a noise in their house, and then they call a local group. Now, if you were to call a plumber or an electrician, you know, you look them up in the phone book, and you go, okay, I need this guy. He's probably good, and he can fix my pipes or my electricity. But paranormal groups are also in the Yellow Pages. If you haven't seen them, they are in my town. They call them, and they say, I have a ghost in my house. And then the next thing you know, you have a black van pull up with a bunch of guys piling into your house. and a psychic. And so, and don't get me wrong, I love the psychic. I'm 3% myself, accurate. But if the people come to the people's houses and they do this, and there's no stopping them from doing it. There's no regulated thing. It's like an electrician has to be an electrician, you know. They have to be a certified same as plumbers and stuff. There's nothing for a paranormal group, and if there is, it's bullshit. So they come into these people's houses, and instead of saying, now here's the deal, you can use your regular 40-hour job, like I'm a phone man, and Mark Constantino's a phone man, and Bill Murphy is an alarm guy, you know. I mean, everybody has a regular job. You can use that regular job. You can use the knowledge that you have to search out what's going on in this house. So take your trade, and you walk in a house, and you go, you know, I'm an HVAC guy, and I'm telling you right now, the ground isn't right on. Now I'm going to pretend and I know what I'm talking about. You understand? I'm just paraphrasing. The ground isn't right on this this air handler, and the thermostat's putting a lot of juice out, you know, and it happens to be at a certain height, and so you're seeing things in the hallway. Instead of saying, okay, your house is clean, they go in there and they go, oh my God, it's fucking crazy in here, right? And you've got the group psychic saying, there's a woman here, she's crying, and then you've got the girl that gets touched every time saying, there's something touching me right now, and then you've got the guy that say, well, the ghosts don't like me, so I'm going to wait out in the car. Anyways,
that's what we call pussy.
Dude, okay. Real quick, let me cut you off. Brittany, I know we talked about this earlier off air and a little bit on air. Does this not sound exactly like what happened this past Saturday?
Yeah, it kind of does.
Scott, what I do is I specialize in private residence. I don't really go to the large crazy places. I don't go to the events. I have a degree in abnormal psychology. I did construction for years and years and years. So it's everything that I do is client based. The whole team that I work with, and I actually have a satellite that's out of Richmond, Virginia too, which is CPR East, is professionals in construction, in medical, in like CPR East has two police officers on their team, and one of them does detective work. So, in operating in a house, like when this past Saturday I had a private residence, and it ended up coming into talking with the woman and interviewing her that it was something she was manifesting, not as manifesting a spirit in a house or stuff being drawn to her. It was, she has anxiety problems. She's, you know, I won't get into too much, but because it is a private. But, and I was able to sit down for, we got there at 9:15 p.m. and left at about 4 a.m. In that time of sitting down with her, I didn't break out one piece of equipment. I didn't do anything. I just sat and I talked with her. And some of the other people were running around just checking out the area to make sure what was going on. And I was able to get her back to her to the point that she was able to admit, hey, you know what, I do have anxiety disorder in the past. I have been suffering from depression. My son has Asperger's. So we were going through that of stuff that he's seen. And I've been talking to her over text message ever since we were there Saturday night into Sunday morning. And she's so much more content in her home, and there was nothing paranormal that was really done there. It was.
See, that's the way to do it, and that's the side of that coin that works. There are successful groups out there that have the resources for people like you. That's your background in construction, and the fact that this woman just needed somebody really just to listen to her, and
yeah,
you're kind enough to sit there and talk with her. And now she's fine. That's badass. I'm talking about the people that have learned everything from TV and social networks that just are going out there and telling people to move and hide their knives from their kids. And I mean, I've seen yeah, that actually happened. We went to a place sometime while we were filming something called Damage Control. And we went out to this place, and this group had told this lady to hide the knives from her son because he's going to try to kill her in the middle of the night. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's 5 years
old. If you plant that idea in his head, he might vulnerable.
He was standing right there.
That is not good. That is not good. That's not logical.
No, I'd like to say, you know, your kid is going to get straight A's and never drink alcohol.
Yeah, absolutely. That's even more realistic.
No, that's going to happen. And doing the Wolfman Live, that was how this all kind of started. I've been doing this for years. Doing the Wolfman Live was when I started realizing, am I becoming this real fucking douchebag, this wannabe television douchebag, or am I going to be a paranormal investigator? So I had to sit down and get my priorities straight and think, okay, I'm a performer, I'm a comedian, and am I going to use this platform to take my comedy out there? Okay, if I do, I can't do things like give people go to people's homes and, God forbid, give them advice. You know, I can't do that kind of stuff. So even the equipment, the equipment that Verified Paranormal uses, you can buy at Harbor Freight. I mean, it's a compass and a candle and a bell. I mean, that's all we use. We don't use anything else, and we just investigate old places, you know, with a lot of history, Virginia mm-hmm. City, whatever. So back then, my wife had to just grab me by the shoulders and shake me. So I know this shit because I did it. And the only way that I can give back is to warn people what I have done, and hopefully they won't do it too.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a fledgling investigator, I went into a place and I caused some trouble for a family. And there's nothing I can do to change it. I mean, I tried, and I fucked up, okay? And somebody, a guy on TV, came to me and goes, you're a fucking idiot, man. And I tried to clean it up, and there's nothing I can do. It's done. It's done already. I could write in my 12-step, my 4-step, all I want is Alcoholics Anonymous, what I've done. But the fact is, I just know where not to go, what not to do for myself. And this weekend, I talked to a group, and there was another group that felt the same way about me. They were so new, I think probably 8 months was the oldest one that had been in the paranormal. And they knew that they can't help people. That they're not going to even try to help people because they can't. I mean, they know that they want to use this as a hobby. They want to have fun. They want to go to places, but they won't. They don't have the resources like you do, Matt, to actually help people at all. And so, you know, it was kind of cool to meet people like that. I just, it's kind of a trippy thing with me. And but anyways, as far as becoming this douchebag on TV, I was successful in becoming a douchebag on TV. But here's the deal about it. I don't have to go on TV, and I don't have to investigate.
No.
I don't have to do that. I just have to go out on TV and take off my clothes or take a shit on scene or eat bugs or do whatever they tell me to do or don't do what they tell me to do, and then they keep liking me. Going into following the Mogollon Monster in Arizona, that was amazing. But I ate bugs, and I took poops on the evidence, and I mean, it's just because that's what I do.
You poke fun at other paranormal investigators in a good way. It's mm-hmm. like, why should we take ourselves so seriously? I mean, if we're really into something, we're really knowledgeable of it, it doesn't really matter how, you know, we do things a certain way. And, you know, on TV, things are done a certain way. There's a specific track record of how to handle an investigation, and it's really unrealistic, and it doesn't happen like that. And, you know, that's kind of the dull, boring way of doing things. And if you can't have a little fun with it and tweak it a little bit, then you can't take yourself too seriously.
And that's the thing. It's spoofing. I remember we did this one show. It was called the show called The Stew, and we were going to just do one episode. And I spiked my hair up in the middle, and I wore a really tight shirt, and I had a brick chase me around for 10 minutes. That was really the show. And my friends are like, you know, my friends I can't tell you they were, but let's just some friends that were kind of wanting to be on TV. They were like, you know, you'll never get on TV this way because, you know, once you make fun of him, you know, you're in fucking big trouble. And I'm like, well, I don't care, you know. Next thing you know, I'm getting a phone call from him and say he didn't want to do this thing. So, I mean, I saw the South Park episode for Ghost Adventures and how he peed his pants and all that. And he said it was a great performance. I mean, mine is never that bad. I mean, we just kind of take things and we boost them up. We don't use any racial stuff. We don't do anything homophobic or, you know, anything that is damaging like that. But we just kind of have fun doing this thing, and it turned up being a weekly show and with the family, and we're still doing it. But the fact is, if you were to take, okay, Matt, Brittany, if you came with me and we went to, say, an old asylum, okay, and it's like, it's all shitty in there, and it's spooky, and there's claims of, I don't care, right? And we go into the main mess hall or the big rape area or whatever they call it, and we go in this area, and we do vaudeville, okay? Or we do stand-up comedy in there, right? Or we do pratfalling, or we just sing horribly, whatever. And we have a good time. And you guys can record all you want. There's a good chance that something may go, you know what, this is the best time I've had in a long time. So comedy is a really good form of enticement. Period.
Yeah.
Clothing, paranormal stimulus, I love all that. But everybody wants to have a good time, dead or alive, I think, you know, so.
Yeah, and plus you got to have a good energy about yourself. And if you have strong energy and you're going to go into a kind of negative place, then you're kind of protecting yourself from being influenced by it, too. So.
Yeah, I'm a strong believer in protection, absolutely.
Yeah, and you have to be prepared, because there are a lot of people who just go into it because they just watch TV and they just think it's like that. And I never really watched those shows very often. I was kind of into the paranormal when I was like 7, and I'm not 7 anymore. I'm like older now, but old enough. I am past drinking age.
You're not 7 anymore, that's for sure.
Shut up, youngin. You're still a youngin. Shut up.
Those shows never really, I never really understood those shows because there was always one specific way, and it's for entertainment purposes. I get that. But the people that are in the paranormal field now, a lot of them are influenced by that, and they're not really educated or want to be educated. They kind of just want to do it because it looks fun and cool. And
read a book,
scared.
People.
Yeah.
And Brittany, I've socks older than you, so yeah. And sores older than you. You know, I think the tricky thing is, okay, there's a show called Extreme Paranormal. I mentioned it earlier with Jason Gallen and Nathan Scott and some different folks, and it was three guys, and it was they did like three episodes and they cut it. And I can't tell you what network it was on because I can't remember, but I really fucking liked that a lot. So the fact of the matter is, I took the paranormal investigator out of the equation, and I watched it as a 50-year-old man, and I watched it, and I really had a great time with the show. I mean, I was laughing, I had a good time. It was funny. So if you think of the demographic of whoever with Ghost Adventures, which I think it's probably teenagers, and then it's like hot chicks between 40 and 50. I don't know. But they're not investigators. So they're watching these shows, and they're like, I want to watch the Bigfoot guy stand around in the forest for an hour. I think it's awesome. But being a Bigfoot hunter, you're like, oh, my God, they're doing it wrong. So if you take that out, the entertainment field, and apart from, I think my ghost story is the only show that I like on my ghost story. Because I like to see my friends on TV because everybody's on it, I think, now.
Yeah.
They didn't like our dick-shaking ghost story, so they didn't want to have us on it. But I love the show, but I'll turn the sound down, and I'll watch the show, and I go, oh, my God, there's Doug Carnahan or Julie Christina or whoever is on it. Oh, my God, there's like Steve Watson. The thing is, it's creepy to watch is on Facebook, they'll go, see, the producers don't like that product, and they try to twist it and make it all different. These people are real investigators or have had real things happen to them, so they're posting it on Facebook. Oh, my God, turn on tonight. We're going to be this a badass on TV. And the following day, they're resigning from the paranormal. They're resigning from the paranormal because they go, oh, my God, I can't believe they said there was a floating baby on fire or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of got to go in, and you got to know they're going to take whatever they want because it's a product. So that product gets sold, Okay. So if you go in there, is it a supplicant professional or whatever, just a really serious paranormal investigator, you're not going to come out looking like a serious paranormal. You're not. Your best bet is to be like a homeowner.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a homeowner and something's in my house. Then you come out looking like a homeowner with something in your house. You don't look like, you know, you wear your team shirt and all that on the show. You're setting yourself up for this product that may taste bad in your mouth.
And really, there's no, if you don't research and study and I'm not going to say that everybody needs a college degree in parapsychology, because where the hell are you going to get that? Like Oxford, I think, is the only place that actually has it. Unless there's other universities.
My alma mater.
I would be
Oxford, man.
So impressed right now.
Yeah,
so
he's an Oxford man. I mow the lawns there.
I catch a lot of that shit too. Of like when I tell people that I have a degree in abnormal psychology, they automatically think it's parapsychology. It's like, no, I actually have a degree in psychology. I don't have
quantum physics
degree.
Or something, or
yeah.
Or I have social sciences, and that's anthropology, and paranormal is a culture, and I study the culture of paranormal and blah blah blah, and that's at least something. Or I'm studying outside of like just the surface. Because then you can be a little bit more in-depth and find out a little bit more, because what good is it going to do if you find some evidence of some ghost, and how are you going to prove that, how are you going to bring it to people, and how are you going to explain it, and how are you going to prove it? You got to go deeper.
Let's take a quantum physics thing, okay? And Andy Kopic and a few other people, I can't remember the other guy's name, but they have these theories that are actually, scientists are going, okay, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to believe in this? But, and that budget says you do, I can't explain this. Instead of brushing it under the carpet, they'll go, okay, wait, right, let's just check this out. So, you got scientists who just, you got, you know, they want tangibility, and you're saying, look, we don't understand what this is, tell us, and then we can move on. And they can't. They can't tell you what this mass is. They can't tell you what this thing is. They're actually seeing with their own eyes, not on video. They can't understand it. Therefore, it's possible to them. And which is a fucking mind blower, because to see them draw up jaws, it's like it never happens, you know. I know that if you found that you could take a piece of copper, I'm looking at a piece of copper right now, that's what I'm saying. You got a piece of copper, and you could put like a chemical on it, and you could set it in a room, and taking matrix thing out of the equation, it would form some sort of message or face or whatever, right?
Yeah, like playing back from glass, or like a tape,
right.
Earth and virtual particles and molecular levels, and somehow record back or play back something that already happened or some noise. At least,
and see, that's it. And so everybody would be buying a piece of copper and pouring alcohol on, or whatever chemical that makes it react. But the thing is that maybe that's your thing. You know, that's the thing. You don't have to call it, well, let's go Britney-ing tonight, you know. But that's the thing that you have to give to the paranormal, you know, or they put on TV or make it a product or something like that. But it has to be something that people can go, I can go get that and make it. It's like when the Half Shack came out, that little Radio Shack deal, that was huge for the paranormal. They didn't go to Radio Shack, cut the fourth pin over and put it back together, and they got a Half Shack, or you know, which they still use today. And it's fun to be smart, you know, and it's fun to be able to make something yourself. And I know all of us have looked at the YouTube videos on how to do shit. It can be so dangerous for your reputation as well as your body in the paranormal. I mean, look at the young man that got killed a couple of years ago on the train tracks during EVPs and stuff. I mean, people are falling through floors in old buildings. People are breaking into places and going to jail. And people are breaking into places doing damage and going to jail. And then people are not knowing who they're hanging out with and maybe go find themselves in a bad situation in an old abandoned house really quick. And that's happened too, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Enjoy the paranormal, people. What a down.
Yeah, sounds lovely. How you just described it sounds lovely.
Yeah,
it's
enjoy the paranormal.
Get
rich. Yeah.
If you're in a controlled environment, why not?
Yeah, you're in
Those bigger locations, those gigantic locations, I think they're a lot more interesting because they have a lot of history. And if you like being scared, or what exactly drew you to it? Are you, like, in love with the adrenaline of fear, or you're just intrigued, or, like, how does it attack
you? There's a few standard answers to that question are, is something happening when I was a child? That's the big one. Another one is, I'm going to know where I go after I die. Another one is, I lost a family member. Those are, someone sat on the edge of my bed the day after their funeral. You know, there's a lot of these reasons why people get into the paranormal. But it is a rush. To be locked down by yourself with a couple of guys in a huge, literally just a hospital for one, gigantic places, prisons and stuff, and have a place to yourself, okay, and have static cam set up so you can kind of figure out what's going on there. What a rush to actually scare the shit out of yourself. I mean, I'd love to make a thing, okay, and I'm fantasizing now. I would call it the Halo, and it would go over someone's head, and it would read their body temperature, and it would read their heart rate, and it would read all that, and investigate the investigator, and they look at your data log that. So when you get out, you can go, man, I saw something over in this corner. Yeah, well, at that time, your heart rate was at whatever before it happened, you know, before this. So to see what's happening in your brain or what's happening to you before you see something or hear something or all that.
Whether or not it was psychological or do you think that people can also, like, kind of change an atmosphere? Like, this is more like quantum physics. Like, it depends on the atmospheric levels and, you know, the temperature and the electric magnetic, if something can happen. And, you know, it really depends if you have electrical charge in the air, if something's going to appear, or if something's going to make some noise. And, you know, it depends. And if a human being can go into an environment, a living human being, go into an environment and kind of change that atmosphere, make things happen, doesn't mean it's attached to them. But also, that's like, does it bring it on?
Well, if you and I and Matt went out on an investigation, and, okay, let's just say, hypothetically, we went out and we did an investigation on a Monday night in a rainstorm at the temperature, the exact settings of this place, right? And we go in there and we do an investigation. Okay, then if you and Matt went in there with, say, somebody else, let's say somebody who's really, really scared, okay? This has never done this before, but is being quiet enough, but just very, very afraid. I believe the investigation, even though it's exact, you can't do it exact, but let's just pretend that it would be different. Your findings definitely would be different. If you did the exact same thing with this one change, like a person, the effects would be, your findings would be different. Now, I strongly believe that world disasters and electrical storms and stuff definitely are, they affect the paranormal, but they are also misinterpreted in the paranormal. Everybody loves to go on, you know, and when lightning's striking and you got a big, you know, you got a big thrill out of this. I was going to say hard on, but I can't say that. So you want to go out and you want to do this thing. Okay, I just did, right? So you're just really amped and you want to go out and you go to the Wolf Manor in Clovis and the lightning's smashing around and there's rain and, you know, the windows are slamming around and all that. And you're recording. Okay? And you get something. It's not ambient. I mean, it's not audible. You don't hear it, but you find something. You play it back, and you find something. There's so much going on in the weather and what's going on around you that it's affecting you as well as the structure. Yeah. You know, so when people go to these places, this house is 100 years old. It's going to act different than it is if on a nice sunny day. It's just gotta, because it's getting the shit kicked out of it by a storm. So misinterpretation is one thing when it comes to the weather, but also the fact that the heightened electricity, I mean, there's some validity to that.
Mm-hmm.
The lightning storms and all this is going on. It's definitely, but how do you find out that that's actually what's going on? I mean, there's got to be a way that you can find out that if it's real or it's not real. Or it's not evident, you know what I mean? Depending on, so, yeah. I still like to do it in the naked, though. So it's like, I mean, And all else fails, if you're not getting any evidence, anybody out there that might be listening, the millions of people, that are listening, if it starts to go kind of sideways at nine, you're like, you know, this is boring. Take your penis out. That's all I can say.
Well, then the sorry girls can't do that. We'll find something to do with our breast. It's fine.
I was talking about all male group, but yeah, you can throw a girl in there. Ew. So.
Well. Speaking of which, and I don't know if you had your penises out or not during this one, but Andrew was actually on a line, and he said you guys did an investigation this past weekend, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm bringing him in. Yeah, he should be with
us
now.
Clothes on.
Hopefully clothes.
Yes.
Luckily, it's on a webcam show.
Yes, all clothes were kept on.
Everything at Virginia City, everybody was naked. Don't let anybody tell you different. Those pictures you see on Facebook, they superimposed clothing on there, like paper dolls.
That's not fair.
Yeah, the entire event was naked. So, yeah, I think anybody that went to that event that said they weren't naked is lying.
No, you're just tripping on something else. That's what it was. Oh, yes.
Coyote in the desert.
Days. Yeah, I feel like I'm missing out. Like being a woman, like can I walk around naked normally? I don't know. Suddenly,
you know,
that doesn't seem appropriate. But
I would enjoy that.
Yeah.
It would be weird.
Men usually do.
Yes, men love me naked. You know, really, is it can't hurt throwing a hot chick and a bunch of naked guys for an investigation. I'm gonna go yes on that. Because they're gonna be like. For one thing, all the cameras, they're not capturing evidence, sweetheart.
No, they're not. They're definitely distracted elsewhere. Yeah,
that'd be
fun.
They're making beat-off movies, yeah. So
hey, why not?
Yeah.
You know what? Girls love attention.
They do. And here's the thing. Okay, let's say you have an entity that loves women. And a lot of locations do. A lot of the old folks' homes and those kind of places, retirement homes that have been closed down for years. There's always like an alpha male spirit there that doesn't like guys, but will pull girls' hair and stuff like that. That's where you want to put the naked woman in. So take Brittany, take all her clothes off, and don't let your husband kick my ass. Tell him I'm gay. Put her in that room with a camera, only you filming, and my secret camera. And have you do, you know, touch me in my business suit area. I want to have sex with you. You know, bring them out, you know. And I'm guaranteed you would do a lot better than me and Matt walking in there with all these vests full of equipment going, all right, George, are you here? You know, like, fuck you.
You just got to make sure you bring out the bondage gear, too, obviously. You know, handcuffs and all that good stuff. And, yeah, that'll probably do something. Also, I have gotten kicked in the ass before, which would seem very odd. But it happened when a bunch of men came in, so I don't really know why they decided then to like kick me in the ass. But I had bruises, and I was like, okay, if you like that kind of stuff, sure.
Well, here's the thing: if I invite a hot chick to a party and she brings five guys, I'm kicking her in the ass. Why?
He was like, I just meant you.
No. Yeah, ball gag paranormal, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, obviously nobody wants to hear me talk in the first place, and I'm pretty sure that my voice reaches like an E3O level, so that might actually come in handy.
Yeah, shrieking out.
Yeah.
Shrieking.
I could do
I love
that.
A good shrieker.
I could do that. There you go. I have a
you
talent.
You can make a cape. Make a cape, Brittany. Say, Brittany's enticing EVP tape, whatever. Make it something scientific. Talk to Matt. Let's figure something out. Cool. And then market it. Put it out there for people to play. Oh, my God. We're going to be rich. Okay. For people to play in. Okay. So, all right. Back up. Rewind. I'm getting confused here. They can take your CD or your DVD or whatever, and they play it in the house. You guys take your break. You know, you go out because everybody smokes and shit. Yeah, everybody goes out, has a cigarette, and gets batteries or whatever the fuck they're supposed to be doing. Leave that thing running in there, you know, your tape, and you have different tracks. Like, one track is, like, enticing another woman, enticing a man, a goat, whatever. And have that playing in there and record it. with spaces in between. So preset EVP CDs, oh my God. And put like Chris Fleming's face on it.
Hmm.
I'm kidding, put your face on it. You know, people would buy that thing for like a buck. And you just, you would make millions. I'm buying five right now.
You never know, hey, it might work, it might work. I mean, it reaches, like, you might get more attention that way. I think that it's really because, like, even, like, ghosts or other entities of, or other life forces or paranormal dimensions just find me really annoying. So I always get, like, a lot of activity after I ask questions, like, really violent activity usually. I'm like, okay, like, what did I do wrong to you? But you know what? I'm going to push you more. So keep it up. I'm enjoying myself.
Right.
Keep it up, you motherfucker. Like, I don't give a shit. Like... You're already dead. How much more can happen to you?
Yeah, what if it's going to happen to you? You're dead. Ha ha. You. And here's the thing. There's people provoke, but we're all provoking. I mean, there's just different levels of it. You know, if you sit and you see something moving in the corner, and it's like an old saloon, perhaps, and there's like two old cowboys that have been said to sit over there and cause a bunch of shit going on. If a guy, my man or myself, sat in a chair in the dark and stared into that corner, you're fucking provoking him. Because I tell you what, if I'm sitting in a bar and some motherfucker's staring at me, shit's going to go down. Well, I'll probably leave. But let's just pretend I was somebody would go down, right? So that's a form of provoking. So, you know, hey, motherfucker, you know, whatever, I'm game. Let's make these tapes. We'll call it Leave Britney Alone. No, we can't do that. We're pretty marketed. We do something else. But, and put these out there. I think there's something to that. Years ago, we took the human out of the investigation. We went, okay, we're using robots, guys. And they're like, whatever, okay. We had a bunch of robots with cameras and whatever. It was like the filming of Star Wars. It was fucking wrecking. I mean, these things kept breaking down, whatever. But it was fun, okay. So we had these rolling robots and some other robots and whatever. And we did this thing we had geophones wherever footsteps, captured footprints, right. Footsteps were said to be, we had cameras focused on them. Well, we caught stuff. The thing about it wasn't fun. I mean, we're not in there with them. But taking the human out of the investigation was kind of a trippy. It was a great thing to do. I'm glad we did it. I'm glad we spent all that money on robots. But, actually, we went to Radio Shack and modified a bunch of those little things. But, it was kind of fun to do, and keeping the group fun. Now I'm not talking about residentials. I'm talking about going to events and things like that. It's kind of the key to making it still appealing for people to be part of the group. I mean, I remember I went to my first meeting at a paranormal group. And I'll just call it Bathing Suit Area Paranormal because it really was kind of the ass. This guy goes, "I just want you to know, new people, first fill out this 5-page sheet." And I go, okay, I'll fill it out. I'm just trying to fuck you on everything, right? And he goes, okay, I just want you to know, I'm the leader. What I say goes. We need a leader. I'm like, okay, boss, you're the leader. I'm new to this this group thing. I'll do whatever you're going to do. What a dick. So Kevin was a dick. We go to this location. I come around the corner. He's scratching himself with a dinner fork. I go, what are you doing? He goes, look what happened, man. I go, no, I saw you do it. I said, you fucking scratch yourself. So it wasn't fun to me, you know. Then with Verified Paranormal, we don't have weekly meetings and we don't have a real structure. And we had a T-shirt, I don't know what it has, that got Goss or something. I don't remember what it was. But it has to remain fun, you know. It has to be something that we like. And Matthew Goldman from The Soup and David Dossett from Sons of Anarchy and these different people have all been, you know, members of Verified Paranormal. We're like the Thompson twins. There's only three of us, but there was like 40 at different times. And there is no real leader, you know. We have a guy that likes to, you know, do the bell, and we have another guy that uses the compass. And it's really kind of a trip. It's like Wild West Paranormal. I mean, it's like the stuff we do, you could have done 100 years ago, apart from some recording device that we use for the audio. But, I mean, there's a theory that if we take a gun and we put a bullet in it and we put it on the table, the entities will go, okay, that's a gun. I see the bullet. It's not going to hurt me, but I'm not threatened by it. But we feel if you go in there with all these blinky lights and all this other kind of stuff, if I was a ghost, I'm like, oh, fuck, the Martians landed. You know, I'm just,
yeah.
What the hell is this? What are they going to do? They're going to capture me? I've seen Ghostbusters. I didn't die until after 92. So, yeah, I don't know what their intentions are with these blinky lights because I don't understand them. So that's our theory, that we do something that people go, like, that's a bell. Come on, what are you going to do with a bell? So, and
like
over the 20 years, the bell's ringing.
Like, you cling it, and all of a sudden, you know, you're really zen with that, the, like, particles, and you're in the vibrations, and blah, 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 all that good stuff.
I believe that anything is possible, and I believe that what people do with their studies and their sciences is cool, and I think everybody has their own thing, and that's fine. But we control the environment because this is our this is our plane. And when we go, we're visiting another, so it's kind of a plane. It's still our plane. I mean, we're still opening doors and walking on floors and stuff, and we're inviting something to come in with us. We have to be careful. I mean, measuring stuff is cool. I mean, I love measuring shit. I mean, but I don't do it on an investigation, just mostly in the bathroom by myself. But people can make, I'm trying to throw jokes in here. The people that can kind of measure particles or do that kind of stuff, and they work on, you know, the dual slit theory and Schrodinger's cat and the infinite amount of possibilities and whatever, all that quantum shit. That's really cool, but it confuses my fucking brain on an investigation. Daryl the Dragon, Drake, he's a great fucking inventor, and he's down in the L.A. area. But he sets up for an investigation. It takes about a day. He's got so many fucking wires and shit all over the place that, and data loggers, God bless him, he gets cool shit. But I don't understand it, so... You know, I'm over here, and I get a growl, I'm going to fuck you, or whatever, right? And I'm like, I got something. You know, he'll come in, and he'll go, oh, yeah, we got a growl, I'm going to fuck you. And, you know, he'll actually back it up with all his data. But I'm like, he talks to me like a lot of people talk to me in, like, ones and zeros, and 1-1-0-0. I don't understand what they're telling me. I just want to know, did you hear that thing say growl, you know?
Yeah.
I have a hard time to... David Roundtree is another one. He can really fucking mind fuck the shit out of me. I don't understand what he's talking about sometimes. I mean, he'll start talking, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool, bro, yeah. And I'm thinking, did I feed my cat? Did I leave the stove on?
Yeah,
what do you think about, like, crystals and, like, earthbound and rocks and, like, energy tools?
More interesting to me, because my mother, see... Actually, when I was like 8, well, more like 9 or 10, that's when I got, my mom was like really into this stuff, and and she passed away a few years ago, and she had bought a Frank's box, my mom did, and we were messing with her the night before she passes, and the old Houdini thing, please contact me when I go, and I really haven't tried, you know, but my mom was really heavily into Herkimer diamonds, and oh my God, quartz, and this is this, oh no, get that away from this one, you know, and my mom was so hippie, you know, she was just so cool, herbs in the kitchen window, at this badass lady, right, really fucking smart, and like a professor at Berkeley, you know, Birkenstocks, long skirt, and I'm just so surprised my name wasn't Destiny or Rainbow, but she was so into, she goes, now this, it was like that old show Land of the Lost, before your time, Brittany, Matt might know. If you put this rock with this rock, it'll make it glow. It'll glow green. Or if you do this one, you can only hold it in your right hand because you hold it in your left hand, it does this. So, yeah, I believe all that stuff is welcome on an investigation with me because it's, again, not threatening and kind of got a really cool science to it, if you think about it. I mean, that stuff works. It works.
Yeah, it kind of has, you know, every kind of gemstone and rock that you use or some kind of tool or rough flowing water that has some kind of conductor for electricity and that, you know, helps basically omit energy. And if, you know, there are some kind of entity or life force, like it draws from that. And that's like kind of what I study. Like I'm like in between. Like, total hippie and total, like, scientifically, you know, accurate. Like, I'm in the middle of, they're kind of both similar, and I'm on, like, the verge of both because I kind of like to study, you know, not witchcraft. Everybody says I'm a witch. I'm a witch, but I'm, like, in a witch in an earth-based sense. But, you know, like, I like gemstones and shit. Say it like that. It doesn't sound like I care. But, yeah, like, I love that kind of stuff. It kind of just makes me feel good. like, comfortable and, like, incense, you know, burn some incense, make the environment and get really one with the vibrations, and then you kind of open yourself up more. But then you have a strong energy about you.
I think that's really, you hit it right on the head there. I think it's opening yourself up more to be more intuitive with the other side. Now, let's just take the most rigid right-wing politician that's and you get him in a room with incense and stuff like that. Even though his beliefs are like, this is bullshit, something's going to open him up, you know. Something makes that man feel good. And if you're feeling good, if you're relaxed, I mean, if we had investigated saunas, not head shops, because those are, no, but saunas and places where people meditate and that kind of stuff, if you were to go in there and do something like that, I'm sure that just because of the energy of, they call it love, I don't know what it is, but this feeling you get will open you up so much, like your own, like your Ouija board or whatever, it'll open you wide open to be more susceptible. I believe that people can be hypnotized to see ghosts. We studied it for a while, but and we did some hypnotism things, and it was just so frowned upon and whatever. We walked away from that project a long time ago. But I believe that if people are really opened up so much that they're like, they can hear better, they can see better, everything's more, you're more in tune with it, you know, and that comes directly. My mom, when I had the flu when I was a kid, most moms would give the kid cod liver oil or medicine. My mom would put rocks on my head. And the thing about it is, but the way she put the rocks on my head and talking to me, I would be well by the next morning.
Yeah.
So she was opening me up and cleansing me out and stuff. And so, yeah, I believe that it's just opening yourself up more than maybe intensifying the spirits around you.
Exactly. And you should be more kind of in tune with your environment, which, you know, we have a lot of distractions in modern day. There's just a lot of distractions. There's everything. There's, you know, work. There's electrical equipment that we, our phones, laptops. Like, we're not focused on our environment, and we are, like, earth-based, you know, beings, and we don't really focus on our actual environment. We're focusing on, like, a surface environment, which is all the technical aspects, and we're kind of forgetting, like, how close we are to natural vibrations, which just sounds so hippie when I speak.
It does,
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you, Brittany. I sent Scott a private message, and I just saw the response, and I hate the chat thing, and there was a lot about Andrew, which I was not expecting that response at all.
Yeah, Andrew and I had sex this weekend, and I'm trying to keep it on the DL.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, and here's the thing. We're cocooning as a society. There's no such thing as the door-to-door salesman because he's a fucking rapist. You know, I'm not going to the fucking door. Get him, Fido. We, as a society, when we were so, hey, neighbor, how you doing? And a lot of Midwest towns, don't get me wrong, they still do it, and I fucking love it. But most of us are texting instead of using the phone because we'd rather text. I'm one of them, okay? Most of us, it started with answering machines, with screening calls. Okay. Back in the day, we'd always answer the phone, hey, hello. No matter who it was, we got on the second ring. Hey, how's it going? You know, who is this? Hello. Oh, this is a bill collector. Well, I'll take care of it later. All right, have a nice day. Oh, hey, blah, blah, blah. You know, now, since the invention of the answering machine, I believe that was the first, probably the one that started this whole cocooning going on. We rely so much on electronics now. I mean, so much of we're putting ourselves in this box. There's a movie by Disney. I think it was about a little robot. I can't remember what it was, but it showed the people like in these pods, and the whole everything was fed for them, and they just kind of floated around, and they didn't really talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're going in this world. And fortunately, there's a lot of communes, and there's a lot of people out there that just do have done away with all that now. I know the Amish they're not really a commune. I mean, that's actually a society. But you get what I'm saying? They still, how you doing? They still, they're not, there's no ill to each other. They're not hiding from each other. They're not doing secretive things. They're not sexting. They're not doing stuff that involves electronics. They're more, you know, raising barns and stuff like that, and I respect that, but I fucking love my iPhone. I'll tell you that right now. So
I love my iPod. So I need
to...
But yes, like we're very detached, basically, from our environment, which sucks. But I think it'll change because, you know, everything will eventually become clearer and we'll lose all of our electricity anyway. So we'll all be screwed and, you know, the world will no longer exist. So, yeah, it's a bleak way of looking at things, right? No.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Well, the TV show Revolution. The Revolution TV show.
Let me back up 1 second and talk about this Amish bullshit, because not that the Amish are bullshit, but the fact that they have a fucking show called Amish Mafia.
Yeah,
like,
that's bad.
All right, that's there is no way that those people are Amish in any way. That was a manifested
creative fucking
show.
First of all, those bitches
show.
Not supposed to be driving vehicles.
Yeah.
Bitches.
Yeah. And, yes.
But they're supposed to be
gotten...
making their peanut butter and their apple butter and their cheese and their butter, and that's it. They don't need to be doing and smell. That's all they got to be doing.
They're allowed to have guns because of what they are. There's certain modern things that they can do. But the one thing that really pisses me off about the Amish, and I'm sure you've never heard somebody say that statement before, but what pisses me off about the Amish is that in their own self-governing thing, that the, like, women are so looked down upon that rape is not a crime to them. They can rape whoever the fuck they want, and the man, Ezekiah, is fucking superior. Fuck that. No, I'm sorry.
Wait,
like,
you
just
started
off a completely different subject now, didn't you? Now that is a man right there.
Well, Matt, you can point that. Let's take the conversation back 35 minutes ago. With TV is a product, and why not make fun of the Amish? God knows they're not fucking watching, but they're going to take something.
Right,
people
right.
go, okay, yeah, let's make fun of the Amish because they don't have Blog Talk fucking radio. But see, there you go. You're going to take. Let's go, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Okay, let's take Honey. Not Honey Boo Boo. That's real. But okay, let's just take My Greek Fat fucking whatever, the gypsy thing.
Yes,
when gypsies watch this, they're like, yeah, okay, we get the big dresses. I mean, I know a couple of gypsies, and they're like, yeah, that's not right. So that's what happens. We watch these paranormal shows. The paranormal investigators are interested more in the paranormal than just, you know, the average viewer. We can sit back and go, God, man, you really, they're doing that old thing. Oh, whatever. We can actually critique it, which is why we don't watch these shows. And that's why, you know, Ghost Hunters came out and they did their thing, and God bless those guys. They opened up this whole world of paranormal investigating of people that turn around and fucking hate their guts. So they created their own demise, yet they're coming back on in June, yet they're creating people who are interested in the paranormal, who are doing their own way, and then they bag on them. It's like, they don't remember where they came from, you know?
Exactly.
I know my wife watches all the shows, every show. Paranormal Witness is still her favorite. She watches all these shows so she can bring this stuff to us and we can spoof it. Myself, I watch Ghost Adventures, of course, I do, and I watch Paranormal Witnesses if I can. But I like Supernatural. I mean, it's not real, but I like it because it's fun to watch. Because I'm not a demonologist and I don't know anything about demons, but I know enough about the scripture and stuff to know that these writers are kind of playing with fire. You know, I mean, they're actually talking about shit that's been written down in the Dead Sea Scrolls or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Tons
of mythology, too. So, that, you know, kind of taps into history, and that makes it interesting. So, yeah.
But
and you
I,
know what,
like
one show that was really excellent and kind of spot on, not necessarily in the investigating part, because they weren't investigators and they weren't really knowledgeable. They're kind of just like regular old people that go in. Most Haunted was a great show because they went to amazing locations.
Yeah.
Like, they went to
Yvette,
locations.
Yeah. Yvette Fleming was one of the first people I talked to in this whole thing. But I think you're talking about the English one, right? Is that what it most Haunted is?
Yes, Yvette Fielding.
She's it was fun to table something and all that kind of stuff. As a viewer, it was really fun to watch, you know. And,
yeah.
But at 9:15, that would scream. It's in the, you have to do that. It's like before every bumper. But to, you know, but to see the My Ghost Story thing, and I love Saunders, and I love the people who produce that show. I think it's great, and they have a good product. I do really watch it with my friends around there, but they have to make something work. And sometimes, you know, it's getting sent out there. They'll pull somebody in. They'll say, okay, what do you got? Well, I got this, the Graber all the house, and my name is Marco Santucci, and my name is Scott Aluth, and these guys are really fantastic. And Marco Santucci has a book called Paranormal Noise, absolutely one of the best paranormal books, because it's about fucking ghosts. So, it's Spectrophilia. I love that shit. But they'll take them, and I watch their show. I mean, I watched Marco's show, and the thing about it is Marco's so out there and so crazy and nuts that it was way toned down. I mean, so when I saw his show, I was like, man, it's like watching Paranormal Paparazzi. To know who I am as this guy who's not afraid to be naked in front of a bunch of people or whatever, or eat bugs or take a poop on your show or whatever, to be told to do something that wasn't really comfortable, it didn't come. All my friends were like, dude, what happened? How come you weren't you? You know, so I was somebody else. I'm an actor. But so to know me, to watch the show, the demographic was like 10-year-old kids or something. I don't know. But there was, and we got 3 out of 10 stars, so I don't want to hear any bashing.
No.
3.6. Sorry, I stand corrected. My numbers just came in. But and you know how Aaron Sagers is, you know, we weren't ourselves on that show. And I like Zach. I mean, I'm really good friends with Zach. And to know how he is in real life as opposed to how he is on TV, it's two different birds. I mean, he is one way on TV and he's another way in real life. And a lot of people are like that. So, you know, maybe Scott Cromwell is this reporter old guy that, you know, whatever. You know, and maybe that's who I am on come across on TV as a product. But if you ever go to an event I'm at, you're gonna see a lot more than you probably want to see. I mean, the people in Virginia City were like, God, make him leave. Why is this guy wearing Hello Kitty wear? And he's 6'5". He's got Hello Kitty pants and shirt, and he's in a saloon full of guys with guns and cowboy hats. Having the time of my life, by the way.
Sounds like fun. Do you have any other events coming up soon?
Preston Castle, September, in Utah. I'm going to be working with Serenity Moore up in Utah at the Grim events. There's one in Wisconsin, Fox City, and I'm trying to go to this damn Las Vegas Paracon because that's the lick, but I think I'm somewhere else at that time. Plus, you know, you can see me on the Stew every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, which is the shittiest show you ever watch. But if you do, it's not my
fault.
Told you not to watch it. No, it's true. It's crap. Don't watch it. It's not reverse psychology. I'm actually being honest and saying, if you stay there to be nice, it's your fault. If you leave the camera, I'll be like, you've got good taste if you leave. And we've got like tens of listeners and loyal fans. Mm-hmm. So you'll probably see like 30 people and they're talking about anything but the show.
Hey, Scott, we're in Wisconsin to be because I'm pretty much a hop, skip, and a jump away from that seat.
We are at Alton. I'm going right now. Let me look at my schedule at www.scottcornwall.com. I'm going to be at the Ramada Plaza. No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know where it is. It's here somewhere. It is. Oh, here it is. Is that me? No, that's Mid-South. It starts with
Apple,
an A, bro.
Appleton.
Yeah, Appleton. That's it. Appleton. I don't know where it is, but it's in there. It's in Wisconsin somewhere.
Yeah, Appleton. Well, the house that I, private residence that I've been doing in Fond du Lac for a couple of years now. Fond du Lac is, if you look at the state, there's, what the fuck is it? Winnebago Lake or whatever the hell it is. The big lake that's in Wisconsin. Fond du Lac is at the south tip. Appleton's at the north tip. So, I know I'll have to make a trip up there for that event for sure.
Dude, I'll put you. You can get them free. I don't care if they're listening either. I'll put you both on the thing. Yeah, you can come up there to Appleton, Wisconsin, August 24th. You're on the list, bro. Did some Scott Grimwald said that you gave me CPR or something.
Wait, what is that excuse? I just like made Appleton or something.
He was naked while pooping.
I mean, when you think CPR, you think, okay, I'm saving lives, but I kind of want him to die so I can hunt them later. So, yeah.
Well, just a real quick, what that is with my psychology degree, I also used to work on a bus, on an ambulance crew. So that's where that whole tying came, and it just worked out to where CPR, Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers, yeah, it kind of tied in. I was able to use that.
Oh, yeah, when you have heart attacks because you're scared to death, yeah, that always comes in handy.
Exactly.
Yeah. It helps.
I'd rather see people die because for some reason I'm attracted to morbidity. Like, I just want to see blood and guts, and you know, but unfortunately, that's not how people really die. That's only how in the movies, you know, organs and entrails and all that good stuff. That just doesn't happen in real life.
It's so funny you say that. As a teenager, I'm an artist, and starting at 6 years old, I started drawing really demonic things and really scary things that scared the shit out of my parents, my teachers. I went to fucking therapy. They tried to give me, but I wouldn't quit drawing these demonic. Now, I'm not just talking about like two guys shooting each other in the blood all over there. I'm talking really horrific fucking, and I still have them, really horrific pictures at 6 years old. And then as I got older, I started getting sexually aroused by the dead. But dead things, not like animals and stuff, but just like horror movies and stuff. And my parents are going, "Oh my fucking brain, are you kidding me?" By 12, I had a pierced cheek and two, and a pierced ear and a pierced nose. We're talking the 70s, okay? Well, nobody had that shit. And I started wearing dark eye makeup. And nowadays, I walk down the street and I'm like, there I go, you know? But back then, it was like, oh God, what are we going to do with this kid? You know, and you know, of course, I went to college and I did all that stuff. But I've always been really interested in it. But the dead always really, I loved it. And it went from horror films to building the horror. You said these models you put together that you glow in the dark. And I had all those, and I still have a lot of them. And then I started collecting dolls, old, really old dolls, old, scary ass dolls. And so they used to say to the girls that, you know, I would bring girls home. Of course, I never came in with the door shut because that's how I was raised. But once they entered my room, they're like, oh, my God. And Frank Zappa would be playing. And, I mean, I was just a really different kid. They thought for sure I'd kill people when I got older. And I tried it. I didn't like it. Two or three, and I was done. But still, I loved it. You know, I actually wanted a girl to lay on ice one time so I could have sex with her. They like she was dead. No, I'm kidding. I went too far with that.
No, perfect. I think we would have been really good friends.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And had pneumonia. Yeah.
Yeah. Kindred spirits and whatnot.
I cut my skin. I cut a girl's name in my skin with a razor blade. And that was
that's
it for
kind
my
of,
parents.
It's kind of hot.
My fucking parents.
That's
yeah. And no, it's on my leg. It still says Lucy on my leg. Her name was Jill. I don't know why I wrote Lucy. But
you're going to call her Lucy.
That's it. We're moving out of San Francisco. We're going to take him out to a farm. And my dad, I remember hearing the conversation going on in the other room, my parents, and I was 13, and they were like, okay, we've got to do something, Dorothy. And she's like, I know. I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, this is a really horrible behavior. Now, granted, I have a twin that's a cheerleader during this whole time, and she's Barbie doll. Okay, this is my twin sister. It's like Barbie and dead. I mean, it was like there was so far, and we're still best friends. I mean, boy, girl, left-handed, right-handed, you know, beautiful, short, blonde girl, cheerleader, and creepy, long-haired other dude that so, you know, and then, of course, I grew out of that. And that's just kind of a shame how some of us are. We're in the paranormal, we're taught, you know, growing up in life, we're tainted a certain way. We're told that you shouldn't believe in this, or that's not real because you cannot see it. And the sky is blue and the grass is green for this reason. And everything is set. You look both ways before you cross the street. And everything is structured how you're supposed to do life. Okay, that's how you have to do life. And if you can't see it, it's not real. And you, and God is watching, and the devil will get you. And everything has to be a certain way, right? And fear God and all these things. And you grow up, and then you're thinking, God, you know, you get to in your 30s or whatever, and you're like, you know, and you rebel. Okay, you detox spiritually, and because now you're your own person, and you're like, fuck it, right? And you can be who you want to be. A lot of people do it younger, like probably yourself, but a lot of people in their 30s, they say, you know, I want to be who I want to be, and maybe this, you know, and if the people, my significant other doesn't want to do it, then maybe I'm in the wrong thing going on here. I believe life should be, you should play. You should make, once a week, make a cushion couch fort. I mean, come on. You need to do that. You need to have a Batman alarm clock. I have a fucking tree fort I play Xbox in. You have to keep yourself. You have to do what makes you feel good. And I'm blessed to have a family that supports this. I mean, it's just nothing to see me run down the street in a blonde wig in a 90. I mean, it's just because it's fun.
Can you be my neighbor? I find that very amusing.
Me.
I think that would be fascinating.
There's a video of it, so.
Hey, I'll play Xbox with you too. So I'm just looking
Call
for people to play Xbox with.
I'm Call of Duty. I started with Finest Hour Call of Duty Online back when it was like one of the first online games, and then I went to the Big Red One, and then I went to Call of Duty 3, and then Modern Warfare came out. I was kind of interested in it, but not really. I'm a big BioShock fan right now. I just love the story of BioShock and Rapture, and now the new one with Comstock and all that. So you can always find me. I was in mountains, Donner Summit the other day, and it was just beautiful, and the sun and the birds. And I took a picture and I put it on Facebook and wrote, God, I miss my Xbox. So I mean, here I am talking about how we cocoon. Don't fucking talk to me while I'm playing.
Yeah, exactly.
You ever do that weird thing when you're playing a game and someone's talking to you, but you tilt your head to them, but your eyes are still pointing at the TV? That's such a shitty move. It's so fucking rude. That's what I look like all the time. I'm like, oh, yes, dear. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd love this. Yeah, I know. You fell and broke your leg. Oh, that's cool. You know, I mean, right.
I zone everybody out. I'm like, excuse me, this is like my time to kill and be killed. So
right.
Let me enjoy it.
Oh,
let me go away
Beach,
to fantasy world.
Take me away to Turtle Beach. Closes off the fucking world. So, you know.
I fucking love it. It's great.
Yeah, me too.
So, anyway, so we're in record right now, are we not, Matt? We're in archive?
Yes, we're in archive.
All right.
We are
20 minutes over, and that's great, because that's good. So listeners will get about 20 minutes extra, I love it, and I appreciate you coming on so much. But before we go, and before we play some rock and metal and some weirdo stuff that I like, which is always my music, sorry, Matt, do you want to plug any websites, which I have some down connected to this, but if you have any more additional ones like Twitter and Facebook, people can follow you on and stalk you on and
not
send
really.
You naked pictures.
Well, if you go to www.scottgrunewald, just like it spells, if you go to www.scottgrunewald.com, you can find all the shit. I'm on Facebook and Twitter is at Scott Grunewald, I guess. Follow me if you want, but be prepared, because you never know what you're going to get. I tweet things that are, people are just like, oh, fuck, what is he? Today I'm a gun enthusiast. Tomorrow I want to shoot everybody in the... I'm anti-gun. Yeah, so you never know. Never know what you're going to get. But I'm glad we've had this time together. I really have, you too. I mean, you guys are so different, right? I'm looking at both of your Facebooks right next to each other. And I go, what a perfect match here, okay? For one, you know, I'm seeing dark, again, kind of that weird look down, but let your eyes look up, kind of mysterious look on one side. The other side, she's big old smile, and it's like, hey, you know, I mean, it's the Midwest meets somewhere down by where the devil lives. So, yeah.
You guys got to get I'm from the middle of the ocean, okay?
Oh, it's Atlantis. Yeah, it's been there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where are you exactly?
I'm in Florida, but I'm from Hawaii, so we're weird. We're like a different species, pretty much.
I like Hawaii. I went there for 8 hours once. It was school.
That's a very long time.
I landed. They put me in a helicopter. I went on a volcano. I stood there and I said, blah, blah, Nash prisoners. I'm coming to Fox. And then they put me back in the helicopter, back on a plane, and I came home.
Sounds like an awesome trip.
Smash Wednesdays. Be sure to watch Smash Wednesdays on Fox. That's how they put me out there. They put me out. It was kind of cool. So, and then the show never aired. It was like, I can't wait for Smash Wednesdays. And it's like, yeah, this is fucking fucked. But,
hey,
you got
to go to Hawaii, right? Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
I know. I got to meet cool people. I love Hawaii.
Well, it's only a four-hour flight for you, as opposed to us, to where it's an all-day event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you guys have Lake Michigan. So,
what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
I lived in Troy for a while. I lived in Detroit, Chicago, and Troy for a little while, and as a very young age. And I was like, yay, snow! My dad's like, fuck is this? Yeah, so we moved to San Diego.
Sounds a lot better. Yeah, Florida sucks. I'm not going to lie. Like, there are weird people here, and I'm saying that.
I'll be in Orlando, I guess, in June, and then in Panama City doing something, because that's a place. I'm not sure.
I think it might be in Florida. It sounds like it's in South America, but I'm going to go with it's probably in Florida. But
Is that your final answer?
No, I'm not betting money on this shit. Geography was never my best suit. But I'll be in Orlando if you're there. I'll go over there. I'm
in
the Tampa
area. My niece is going to be the new Cinderella at Disney World. So there's this big fucking inauguration.
That's awesome.
I know. It's like, I go to Disneyland, like, religiously over here in California. And Club 33, the whole fucking deal, right? And first thing we do is we rent a wheelchair so we can get on the rides. That's some shit move. But, right? My 16-year-old, they go, you're fucking sick, sit down. And we go past all the kids that have been waiting for 3 hours in line. You both up there, and everybody's going, that's fucking bad karma, man. You're fucking, that's fucking bad karma, man. I go, hey, you want to get on the ride with us? Oh, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, so, and then one lady asked my son, what do you have? And he says, what did he say? He had whatever that is when you fall asleep and you can't help it.
Narcolepsy.
And then he fell asleep when she was talking to him. My fucking son is a genius. My littlest one. My oldest one's 30-something. But my little one's 16, straight-A student, and he's quick. He's a little comedian. And hope he doesn't have to take his clothes off in public like his father. Which it's weird because I have friends at school. They're like, oh, yeah, here's your dad. They're like, hey, oh, yeah, we saw you on TV. And and their parents are like, oh, my God, that's Cash's father. And he doesn't have any clothes on. Whatever, but it's like, you're not going to their house. Yeah, we don't want you at a fucking house, anyway. Anytime you guys are in Fresno, come over here in the Million Dollar Studio. It's fucking awesome. I got cats and dogs running around and shit. I mean, that's the draw. That's all I got.
I love cats. You got me at cats. Like, I have my own language, so we're good. We're on the same page. Like, you know, they just, like, communicate with me, like, I'm going to be, like, that eternal cat lady. I'm going to have, like, 1,000 cats, and I'm going to be alone. And I'm going to die alone, and all my cats are going to be, like, all over me, and they'll just die with me, like, you know.
Well, they eat you. They'll eat you, sweetheart.
I lived
in Palo Alto, and we heard all these cats crying, and then we smelt it. And then the cops came, and they knocked on the door, and they said, did you know that Mrs. Graham passed away? And I go, well, no. And the cat, her 5 cats ate her face off. So.
Oh, dear. Zombie cats.
They were so hungry. Oopsie. Yeah, they were so hungry. They ate her face off. And it's like, well, there you go. So I hope that doesn't wreck your future plans. But maybe before you start to feel sick, you might want to
cover your face. Well, at least my body won't decay because it won't have time to decay. They'll just eat me alive.
I don't want decay on me. I want to go, like, when I go, I want to go, like, exploded into thousands of pieces.
Exactly.
I mean, I want to be like, feel like, oh, my God, he was fucking struck by lightning, or he fell out of a plane and landed on that point on top of the Empire State Building or something. I want to be in the nest.
Yeah, that's sexy.
I want them to have to get special equipment to clean up the shit that I leave behind. You know?
I just want to be mummified, so maybe I have to be in one piece, but that means that if I die and dry up in the middle of the desert, that, you know, it's a lot cheaper to just go in the middle of the desert and rot and be dry instead of paying $50,000.
I'm gonna have a hard on. I'm gonna have a hard on when I die, so they have to make a special coffin.
Exactly. Hey, there
yeah.
you go. How do you get rid of that? You really can't. I don't think there's anything.
I don't think so.
Rigor mortis, penal, something.
I already made my death movie, though, so it's kind of cool. We were sitting around on Saturday, and we're like, what do you guys want to do? I go, hey, I want to do the death movie. And they go, okay, you guys know what that is, right? They play it at your funeral after you die. So I was going to do it either two ways. One is I was going to out everybody on all their cheating and shit that they're doing. So everybody is all really uncomfortable at my funeral, like, Bill cheated on his wife. So I thought, you know, that's kind of a shitty move, you know. So but I just made a movie, a basic movie that's really humorous about how fucked up my life is and how good it is and how awesome my kids are and all kind of shit's up. About 30 minutes. So when I die, they're going to show like old episodes of The Stew and whatever. Like they did, my father had a TV show and they did that for him. But then it's going to come on. I'm going to interrupt like I always do when people are talking if you didn't notice. And play my movie. It's like, hi, everybody. It's me. I'm dead. Blah, blah, blah. It's funny to get dead. I want to start a thing on Facebook. Make your dead video and then post them on Facebook. People should do. I bet you that would be. That could be the next big thing, that and the EVP CDs that you should do.
Yes, yes. That's actually a really good idea. Like, that's so easy to make. And I would just be like, I could just annoy people constantly, which is great because I have the satisfaction, obviously.
Okay, my dinner's here.
Here's what I wonder what would work out better is if you did an actual attempt at EVP, like, I can't remember what the hell they call it, projected voice reception or something like that. Well, if you did something that was just, like, a nagging wife, like, why are you so late? Why are you doing this? They'd just be like, shut the fuck up.
See, I'm good at that. That is something that I'm good at. Or I could pull a Sarah. That's awesome.
This song's about me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, dude, break up with Sarah.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's so,
she's going to kick my ass, but so be it.
Sarah, we love you.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, we do.
My bad.
Okay, so here's, you guys have seen my PSA for bullying. I don't know if you've seen it. I think it's on one of your videos. Where is that fucking thing? It's funny and shit. Because I didn't write it. That's why it's funny. If I wrote it, it'd be stupid. Oh, well, I don't know. Where the fuck is it? I don't know. I'm going to put it on Matt's page. It's like, please do your part or something.
Oh, the angel video?
Yeah, what a great voice I have.
Oh my god, that was the most hilarious thing I've.
I have to tell you, it's like one of my better voices.
That was you're so good. You're so good. I'm so.
You're awesome, Infinity.
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah,
I gotta go.
You're awesome, Infinity. Times Infinity.
And you beat me. You're awesome, Infinity. Times. No.
You're universal numerological. E equals MC squared.
Boing.
she just fucked you up.
Yeah. I'm like, the spring just came out the side of my pants. My head.
Brittany wins.
Okay, guys, have a great night. Thank you very much. I love you guys.
Love you too,
man. Thank
you. Okay. Thank you. That was funny. So, that was hilarious. Anyway, so thank you for him stopping by, and sorry. So we have that video that he was talking about. Have you seen it, Matt?
No, I haven't seen it yet. He just said he was going to post on my page, though, so.
It's on mine, so check it out, because, I mean, literally, I was watching it at school, and I was just like, I couldn't help but laugh, because it was just so funny. It was so serious, but not. So it's I think you can find it on thestew.com, actually, because I think that's where he got it from. But it's hilarious. So anyway, so that was our show, everybody. And we'll be back next week. And, well, I'm going to leave you with some metal. How's that sound, Matt?
That's perfectly fine with me. Hey, well, wait, hold on. Will you be back next week, or do I have to organize all this shit again? again by myself.
No, hey, I organized this shit by myself.
Yeah, this was your baby. I'm just saying, like, and is this something you're going to be like, oh, no, I don't know. Or
no.
Are you going to grace us with your presence?
I'm on, bitches.
All right.
You knew I was in New York and I couldn't do that last week, so...
Hey, shame. I rocked that shit.
Yeah, you did. But it's not... I cannot talk about that live on air. You did well, but I can't talk about what I was doing. Anyway, we already had this conversation. Let's not get back into it. I'm going to draw you back into it. evil, conniving ways I can think
of. Put down your slowly moving repetitive fingers, okay? I see what you're doing mentally right now. And
that is so weird. Now you're freaking me out. Are you watching me?
Nope.
You're freaking me out. Oh, dude, what just happened? Are you psychic?
No.
I don't know what to say, because you're really freaking me out.
That was completely random. Even though when Dennis did test me on what he was wearing, I picked out exactly his shirt, exactly his pants, and his wife's shirt and pants and shoes. When he asked me to look and see what both of them were wearing, which was a small test. But that was at a time that they both said that I was very, very upfront in the paranormal or in the psychic light, I guess, is how they deal with it.
What am I wearing right now?
You're wearing black.
Oh, come on.
That's anything new. I've said, and I got yelled at for this. I mean, literally, I got yelled at by three different people of you either have your foot in the door or you have your foot, or you have both feet outside of the door. There's not an in-between. You don't leave the door open a crack to try and peek in and see what's there. So I've chose to not see what's there. I've chose to slam the motherfucker and let it rest and burn to never open again.
Yes, but I'm very intrigued right now, and that kind of did creep me out. I felt for a second you installed some kind of camera and were stalking me, but if that's not the case, then okay. I'm a little freaked out right now, so next week we'll see what you can pull out of your ass then.
I will give you exactly what happened is in the fact of right now that I'm sitting here, I'm standing because for some reason I pace when I talk. I don't get why, but
calories.
When I pace when I
calories.
Yeah,
you burn calories. It's good exercise.
But if you're sitting there and you're giving somebody directions on the phone, and this is where this came from. I shit you not. There's nothing psychic about this whatsoever. When you're giving somebody directions on the phone and you're pointing to the direction of where you're saying they need to go, you know they can't see you, but your body just does it. You don't sit there with your arms tucked under you and say, oh, you make a left and then you make a right. And if you look over here, you're actually pointing and doing the mannerisms of if the person was standing right in front of you. That's where that came from, of you doing your little witchy fingers or whatever you want to call it.
No, but not many people do that. At the exact moment that you said that, I was doing it. That's weird.
Yes, I know you were, and I know you were because of human reaction, not because of seeing you.
Good. Because that just means you're really intuitive. Not necessarily, not like psychic intuitive, but human intuitive. So that's good. But also a little creepy, you see? So, because I don't always do that. It's a very rare occasion that I do that, and it's mainly when I'm being, like, I don't even know, but nice way to creep me out before we end the show. Thank you. So because of that,
well,
I'm going to play, like, the creepiest song that I have, which I don't really know if I have, like, a really creepy song. So I'm just going to play, like, a really badass song. So
yeah, your metal will relax you.
Yes,
that
it will.
It's possible, but I know it does. For some
it
reason,
does.
It
gets
does.
Rid of my headaches. It's unbelievable. You should try it sometime. Meditate with some
it's
black metal. Screaming.
It's the complete opposite. It's the complete opposite of what should actually happen. But okay.
I know it's a bit strange, but yeah. And then next week we'll play some of your bands that you had witnessed last week.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's and see, and they're all Chi-Town. Chi-Town represent.
And maybe we could just have like a music show, like half a show or something. We can check out some new music because I have a lot of promotional things that I should be doing, helping out some artists. Like check out Kidney Thieves' new album, Volcano and the Sea. But I'm not playing it right now, so sorry. I'm just like teasing you. But just check out their new album. They work really hard. You can buy it on Amazon, I think. So, but with that, I'm going to leave you with some Camelot because the song is awesome. And it's really awesome and kind of sexy. And nobody has to know that but me. But I said it out loud, so oops.
So
anyway.
Everybody in Archive knows. And hey, real quick, I don't know if this is something you're open to. I was talking to Kevin about it at least. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because of inspiration on your show that we did last week without you. but just the idea, what popped into my head was, why don't we have a featured local band or a featured band that wants to submit something, have their music played on air, you know, more, you know, metal kind of alternative, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, well, we play it at the beginning of the show and at the end of the show.
Yeah. I do on occasion get some emails from bands that want to play some music, but it has to go through me. And I'm sorry. I am picky.
No, I know.
But...
Well, that's why you pass them off to Wednesday. And because I already have about 10 submissions right now, so I have 10 weeks full of bands that are already set.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely pass them on to you. I'm picky. So I want to get their music out, but it's also like I want to really appreciate it.
Yeah.
But yes.
Well, no,
it
has to pass the test.
It does.
I like
high quality music. What can I say?
Yeah, well, you know what? That's what I had on your show last week. So.
I know. And we'll play some of that next Monday. And we'll just you know, get a hold of some more music from them, and, you know, we could have a show dedicated to metal. I mean, the show is fucking metal anyway.
Yeah.
Bitches. I always have to say that. Always. I can't help it. I'm sorry. It's just so good. So, yes. So, with that, I'm going to leave you with some Camelot, and I will talk to you next Monday. Yeah. Unless I am free Wednesday, then I might call in, give you a call. So who are you having as guests on Wednesday?
Wednesday, and this is where you're probably going to make time to call in. It's going to be Dane Ladwig, who, you remember Dane?
Of course.
Yes. He has some still to this day, not even to Jeff Mudgett or me, never released information about H.H. Holmes tied in with Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
So that will be debuted for the first time ever on the show on Wednesday. Also have the other another guy who's been working on that along with Dane. His name is Mark Potts. And if this is going to sound really crazy because we're talking about information regarding a serial killer, if Ray Johnson can get a cover for his Bible study class on Wednesday, then he will be calling in also. because he is a huge part in this too. So I'm excited because I have no idea what the fuck they're going to say, and really, really waiting for that.
Oh, you just
so,
throw me in the mix with the guy who does Bible study. You only see one way that can go.
Yeah, so okay. So we don't know, well, no, that he doesn't talk. But he was a narcotics and gang detective. He's seen shit, and yes, he needed Jesus. So.
Yeah, then I understand that. Which I would actually just like to discuss being a detective, because I think that would be, like, a fascinating job. So, yeah.
So, yeah. So, Waste of Metal, we'll talk. I'll keep you posted on what's going on for Wednesday between now and, well, almost for you.
Like, it
today.
Is almost today and tomorrow. So, yes. And I might message you later with some details of some things, of which are details, and nobody else needs to know about them. So, here we are. We're going to play March of Mephisto, and I will see you and everybody else next Monday on Into the Darkness. Have a good night, Matt.
You too. Good night, dear.
Good night, everybody else, and rock on.
When you're lost, I am so lost.